जयं विश्वपाल परम हंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणानंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद
जय
जय क्रीड़ा प्रोष्ठ विश्वपाल परम हंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद आनंद गौड़ी वैष्णव नंदगी नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्य आनंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गो प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड गॉडेस ऑल ग्लोरी ऑल ग्लोरी श्री 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 गुरु एंड गवर्नमेंट ऑल ग्लोरी श्री श्री प्रभुपाद नमो शुकदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय बोधरे श्रीमद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशदारिणी ओम नमो भगवते ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहकहीनांगं मामुद्धर भवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि श्रीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं वरं जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरदश्चात्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजोवारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्नास्येन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जितगैतवोत्रवरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते गम्भोभरेश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यनेत्रकृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभीतक्षणा निगमकल्पतरोगलितं बलं शुभमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् विपदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः इयं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमवेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयतरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्नम् इमं करुणया पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां देवनरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयविशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कुनिदाददानदोः मम वाजिविजृम्भदामुराये मधुरीं न कलिगाभिकाभिगायै नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले
श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी अशाध्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंद व्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश यासं हरिगदोद्गीतं गुणादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द परमानवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजित चक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणा समुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दर मन्दहासं वातालयेश मनिशं कृति भावयामि कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारगा वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म भासदाम्बुरलोमा मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्कं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं मन्ये परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय श्रीमदराधिकारी सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविंद गोविंद Krishna's grace, we have to stress this, that we don't normally get an opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly Ekadasha Skandam. That opportunity is very, very rare. Generally, Bhagavatam, when it is discussed in the assembly of in a large scale with many, many people, Ekadasha Skandam is not discussed. Reason being that people have no real taste for Ekadasham. Ekadasham's beauty is many of the topics discussed in the Ekadasha Skandam is from the very higher level of the Vedanta philosophy. You can see this particular topic we will start today, Vitrigita, is an important Vedanta Prakaranam, they call it. Prakaranam means selected topics from the Vedantic philosophy which supports the Vedantic viewpoint of spiritual life. That's why Vitrigita is called a big Prakarana Grantham. Prakaranam means it's a separated part of the Vedanta which presents Vedanta philosophy in a very higher level. And therefore, it requires a lot of attention also. I have to say that from the beginning, otherwise you will think after a while, oh, it's too much to digest. You will leave it behind. But if you understand this Vitrigita, you can see how Krishna has presented that what we discussed in the last chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, what we were discussing, if you remember that. Krishna said there, Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham, the third verse I think, or second verse. Second verse, I think. Tyagam Shandi Apaishunam Daya Budeshu Aloluptam Mardavam Hri Rachapalam. That was the second verse in that 16th chapter. Beginning with Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi. First verse is Abhaya Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vivastiti Dhanam Damascha Yajnascha Swadhyayastava Arjavam. Isn't it? And the second verse is We discussed that Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham, then Tyagam, Shandi, Avaishunam. Isn't it? At that time, we have seen that Tyagam and Shanti are always together. Is it not? From Tyagam comes Shanti. From sacrifice comes peace, in other words. From sacrifice comes peace. That is why they are kept together. Tyagam, Shanti, Abheshanam. Krishna says there, is it not? This principle is what Bhikshu has applied in life. You can see that. When Tyagam happened, although it was forced upon him, he found out that Shanti had come in a natural way to him in his life. You can see that. Although it was forced upon him, Tyagam, he had to give up everything. And finally, he realized that it is through Tyagam that Shanti comes. Not by grabbing everything. This is the exact opposite knowledge in the world. Vedam is telling us by Tyagam Amrita Mashnude. Through Tyagam, you become immortal. You become happy, peaceful inside. But not by grabbing. Whereas the rest of the world always believes in that. As much as possible, grab others. And that way you will become happy. Vedam is telling us, no. Because they have already analyzed all these things to such depth. Because from their own experience, the rishis have found out that in the three states of existence, vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep, the more and more you are leaving behind, the more the peace comes in. Is it not? From Jagrat, when you gave up the Jagrat, you had everything. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. But as soon as you gave up the body and moved into the dream state, the problems related to the body has gone. Similarly, when he moved into the deep sleep state, they found out that when you lose your body, the mind, the intelligence, the sense, the ego, everything has gone and you are more peaceful. Shanti has come more in the deep sleep state. That is that happiness. Shandoyam Atma, they say. Atma is nature, is Shanti. So this principle which is spoken in the Shastram is a practical example is happening here. That the as much as one throws away the baggage on him, whether in the form of the body or the mind or the world or the senses, whatever it is, the more we leave behind, the more that happiness will come to that person. This is a big principle in spiritual life. And most of us do not really understand that. That is why we come to spiritual life with a completely different understanding. But the very basic principle is this, that the more Tyagam leads to Shanti. This is Krishna's principle. Tyagam leads to Shanti. If you have doubt about that, you can go into the 12th chapter and look at it, what Krishna says about that in the Bhagavad Gita. You will see there, 12:12, if you look, you will see there, the same thing Krishna repeating again, but in a much more explicit way. If you look at the 12th chapter, 12th verse. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyate, dhyanal karma bhalat tyagam, tyagal shanti anandaram. Krishna says there, is it not? So, what does that mean? Forget about Shrayam, Jnanas, and all that. Krishna is saying finally, Tyagal Shanti Anandaram. Isn't it? Tyagal Shanti Anandaram. So, that is that. That is Krishna's principle. He says here that meditation is renunciation of the fruits of faction. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. Same thing. So in Bhagavad Gita you will see whatever Krishna is saying. Why this Tyagam and Shanti kept together? Because from Tyagam comes Shanti. Here Shrayohi Jnanam Abhyasal Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishyade Dhyanal Karma Bhalat Tyagam Tyagal Shanti Anandaram Tyagal Shanti Anandaram. So this is the important principle in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Bhikshu Gita Prakaranam is a perfect, practically incident what happened. And Krishna has kept this in mind. And quoting this Bhikshu's experience, he is saying to the world, look, this is what I have to say to you, that this very principle, Tyagal Shandir Anandaram, from Tyagam comes Shandi. In Bhikshu's case, somehow or the other, it so happened in his life. Whatever reason it is, doesn't matter, but it happened. Everything was taken away. When everything was taken away, Bhikshu felt happy inside. Is it not? He realized it, that there is happiness in this. Not by grabbing everything in the world that you become happy. But rest of the world, that is the philosophy, isn't it? Grab as much as possible and you will become happy. You will never become happy. The rishis knew this from the very beginning. They have seen all this life enough that they have understood the principle of happiness is not in the accumulation, but rather in the tyagam. When Uddhava met Vidura, in the third canto of Bhagavatam you can read, in the fourth chapter, Uddhava had left Krishna. Krishna told Uddhava to go to Badrinath. Just to go back a little bit into the background of this Ekadasha Skandham. Before he went away, he went to Vrindavanam to pay his respects to the gopis there. Because Uddhava had seen that bhakti level they have reached, the state of bhakti gopis have reached, Uddhava has not seen anywhere else. So before going to Badrinath, Uddhava felt the necessity to go to Vrindavanam. And by Krishna's arrangement, however, it so happened Vidura has arrived there after his long pilgrimage for lasting over a year. When they met each other, it was again Krishna's arrangement that they met on the banks of the river Yamuna, Yamuna river bank, and there is a conversation between Uddhava and Vidura. They are seeing each other after a long period of time. And Uddhava mentioned to Vidura, Vidura asked Uddhava a few things. Vidura says to him, if you look into the fourth chapter of the third canto, you will see there that Puramaya proktama jayamabhye padme nishannaya mamadi sarge jnanam varam man mahimavabhasam yal suryayo bhagavadam vadandi. What is Bhagavadam? What does Bhagavadam mean? He says here, then Uddhava says to Vidura, his conversation with Krishna. Krishna says to Uddhava, that at the beginning of the creation, in the Kalpam, Palpa Kalpam, that Brahma, who was situated in the lotus flower, to him, what does I give it to him? Krishna says, I gave him jnanam param man mahima bhavasam yal suryayo bhagavadam vadandi. Then specifically says, jnanam param man mahima bhavasam. Then talking about the knowledge was given to whom? To Uddhava. The knowledge was given to Uddhava. That is how Krishna says to Uddhava. Jnanam param, param jnanam, the supreme knowledge of the self. Man mahimava bhasam yel suryayo bhagavadam vadandi. And that knowledge what I have given is addressed by suryayo, by the learned people as Srimad Bhagavadam. This is the definition of Bhagavadam itself. Krishna is saying this. That knowledge what I have given to Brahma at the beginning of this Palmakalpam, and that is known as Bhagavadam. He said like that to Uddhava. And after that he says here that the that jnanam in the 18th verse, jnanam param so alpa aha prakasham pravaja kasmai bhagavan samagram abhikshamanno grahanaya bhartar vadanjasaya yadvrjinam tarema. So what is the nature of that knowledge? Jnanam param swa almaraha prakasham. That almaraha prakasham, that knowledge which explains about the illuminating nature of the soul that is full of illumination, pure knowledge in other words. Soul is not different from knowledge. Knowledge is the soul. As Krishna says, Sudha Goswami says in the Bhagavatam, that tattvam yat jnanam advayam, isn't it? So the same thing Krishna is also saying here, jnanam param swatmaraha prakasham provacha kasmai bhagavan samagram. That says there that Uddhava asked Krishna that if I am qualified, please give me this understanding of that knowledge. Give that knowledge to me. Atmaraha prakasham. And because that knowledge you have given to Brahma before. Krishna has given that to Brahma. And with that knowledge, let us cross over this material existence. So, jnanam varam so alparaha prakasham provachakasmai bhagavan samagram abhikshamam no grahanaya bhartar vadanjasaya yadvrjinam taremam. When he said like that, Shiva Brahmarshi says here at that time that that ityuddhavadubhagarnya sukhrudam dusaham vadham jnanena ashamayar kshata shogam ulpadidam budaham. In the iti uddhavadubhagarnyam, that when Vidura heard about the death of so many personalities in the war, in Mahabharata war, and they all departed from this world after the war, and when he heard this understanding from Uddhava, that what Krishna has instructed this highest knowledge to Uddhava, what Krishna has not even spoken to Arjuna, that is what Krishna has given to Vidura, so to Uddhava, isn't it? What Krishna has not even given to Arjuna, Krishna has given to Uddhava. And you will see at the end of the Bhagavadam how Uddhava acknowledges that gratitude to Krishna for what has been given to him. So he says here that the after hearing about the death of so many relations and friends, our Uddhava or Vidura felt a great relief when he heard that Uddhava has received the transcendental knowledge from Krishna. So Vidura says to Uddhava, that jnanam that you have received, jnanam varam so almaraha prakasham yadaha yogeshwara ishwaraste vaktum bhavan orhadiyadhi vishnu or brityas or brityartakritas charandi. Then Krishna has instructed you. Krishna is here. Yadaha yogeshwara ishwaraste. Krishna, who is yogeshwara, he has instructed you the principle of atma, atma tattvam. And that knowledge what he has given to you, give it to me, he says. Who says this? Vidura says to Uddhava. And that is all Vidura asked Uddhava. Didn't ask anything else. What you look at that relationship between Vidura and Uddhava. After such a long period of time, Vidura is saying to Uddhava that jnanam param swatmaraha prakasham atma aha prakasham, the knowledge of the self, that's all what I need. I don't need anything else. So clear Vidura was. Vidura was had a long journey, traveling all around the holy places. After when he decided to leave the Hastinapur and go on his pilgrimage, he went on a pilgrimage for the whole period of time. And by the time he came back, Mahabharata war was over. Majority of the people had left this world. All who were related to him, Kauravas are practically all gone. Many Yadavas have also left. And Vidura says to Uddhava that if you can instruct me of that transcendental knowledge what he received from Krishna, because Vidura could see when he saw Uddhava, he is not the same Uddhava like before because of this knowledge inside. If you remember that he mentions there that the when he looked at Uddhava there is a big change in Uddhava with this realization of what transcendental knowledge is received from Krishna. And he noticed that very specifically, he mentions in the Bhagavatam. So, Jnanam Param Swatmaraha Prakasham Yadaha Yogeshwara Ishwaraste Vaktam Bhavanorhari Yadhi Vishnor Bhritya Subhritya Kadascharandi. So, saying this, Uddhava requested, Vidura requested Uddhava to instruct the same knowledge to him. Seeing Uddhava's that state of realization, Vidura could immediately sense that. Sneha Prasara Samplota, it says there in the Bhagavatam. Sneha Prasara Samplota. A realized soul, in his absence, he could see the change that was happening within him, himself. First of all, Vidura was very purified after his long pilgrimage, everything. And it is in that state he is seeing Uddhava, who is already realized after receiving this greatest transcendental knowledge of Ekadasha Skandam. So, naturally you can see in his Uddhava's association how Vidura felt about that. So, that Krishna says to Shuka Brahma, she mentions here, that Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, that how come Uddhava alone remained after the war? After the war, how come Uddhava alone remained? Because Krishna has also decided to leave the planet. How come Uddhava remained there? So Shuka Brahma, she says there, that there was some plan in Krishna's mind. Sukadeva Goswami says this. Sukadeva Goswami says this. Krishna had a plan in his mind that when I leave this world, there is only one person in this world who is qualified to receive this knowledge. There is only one person in this world who is qualified to receive this knowledge. Brahmashapapadeshena kalena mokhavanchitaha samhatya sukulam nunam tyakshen dehamachindayal asma logad uparate. When I leave this world, mai jnanam madashrayam, there is only one person who is qualified to have this transcendental knowledge. Mai jnanam madashrayam, he says there. Arhadi, who is that? Uddhava. Arhadi Uddhava evartha sampratyalpavadam vara. Because Krishna's point is that there is only, if I disappear from this world, among those who have taken to spiritual life, only Uddhava, who is in that state of proper stage to receive this transcendental knowledge. Why? No Uddhava abhimanyuno yadgunernardida prabhu adomadvainam lokam grahayandi madhishtatum. Because Uddhava is every way qualified as much as I am, Krishna says. He is not different from me. No Uddhava abhimanyuno. Not even, that is verse 31. No Uddhava abhimanyuno. Uddhava is not even in any way less qualified than me, because as far as control of senses is concerned, and he is never disturbed by the senses, and therefore, because he is in that state, let him stay in this world with this knowledge for some time. And that was the reason why Krishna instructed Uddhava Ekadasha Skandam. Shuka Brahma Rishi is explaining that in the Bhagavatam. Why Ekadasham was given to Uddhava? For this reason. Krishna says, Uddhava says, no Uddhavo nabhi manyuno yad guner nardhida prabhu. That no way Uddhava is less qualified than me, Krishna is saying. Because that yad guner nardhida prabhu ado madvainam logam grahayam iva tishtatu. That he is never disturbed by the senses, and let him remain in this world with this transcendental knowledge for some period of time. And that was Krishna's plan. So, you can see, Srimad Bhagavatam has come to this world through two different channels. One through Brahma Narada, Vedavyas, Shuka Brahmarshi, in that way. Parikshit, like that, what we are reading through Srimad Bhagavatam. There is another way which is starts from Adishesha, isn't it? From Balram, Lord Balram. From Adishesha instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to Sanat Kumara Maharshi. That is in the next chapter, we will discuss there. Sanat Kumara Maharshi instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to a great sage called Sankhyayana Maharshi. Sankhyayana Maharshi instructed Bhagavatam to Parashara Maharshi, that is Vedavyasa Maharshi's father. Two persons, Parashara and Brihaspati, both of them were instructed Bhagavatam by Sankhyayana Maharshi. Sankhyayana instructed, so Adishesha, which is Balram, Adishesha instructed to Sanat Kumara Maharshi, Sanat Kumara Maharshi instructed to Sankhyayana Maharshi, Sankhyayana instructed to Parashara and Brihaspati, and Parashara Maharshi instructed that to Maitreya Maharshi. So what you see in the third, whole of third canto is that part of Bhagavatam which has come through the parambara of Adishesha. Because all Maitreya is talking to Vidura. Now from third canto is Vidura Maitreya Samvadam it is, isn't it? So that discussion is what Maitreya Maharshi received from Parashara Maharshi. Parashara, Maitreya, all great personalities, great sages. Through them, Srimad Bhagavatam has come in another channel. And that was given to Vidura, and that is what you read in the third canto of Bhagavatam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam has these two parambara system. One through Brahma, Vedavyas, Brahma, Narada, Vedavyas, Shobhramarshi, Parishit, like that. What we hear, through Shobhramarshi, what we hear this. The other one through Adishesha, Sanat Kumara, Sankhyayana, Parashara or Brihaspati, and then through Maitreya Maharshi, and then through Vidura, like that. In these two ways, Srimad Bhagavatam says here. So, in there, Uddhava had the good fortune of hearing from Krishna directly, Ekadasham, isn't it? Ekadasham he heard directly from Krishna. What Uddhava had is a very exclusive thing, what nobody else had. No one else had that. Only if you take Ekadasha Skandam seriously, then only you can appreciate that, Ekadasham's greatness, the glory of Ekadasha Skandam. And Krishna has spoken about it at the very end. When you come to the 29th chapter, Krishna will talk about Ekadasham's beauty and something that has been experienced by Uddhava. And Uddhava acknowledges that at the time of departure from Krishna. So, Uddhava had doubts, many doubts. Uddhava asked a few doubts to Krishna also about it. And that is where we stopped last time. Uddhava asked this doubt to Krishna that out of all the problems, it's very difficult to tolerate when someone uses very harsh words about us, isn't it? It's the most difficult thing, says Uddhava. So that is when we looked at last 22nd chapter. 22nd chapter, at the very end, Krishna said to them that there is nothing much we can do anything about spiritual life. Krishna says to Uddhava very straightforward. About spiritual life, there is no shortcut. The only thing is control of the mind and senses is necessary. Otherwise, it's not possible to move further, Krishna said. And in that process, he said, you should not even try to get rid of your distress in life. Normally, when we come to spiritual life, we come with distress. Generally, people mostly come to spiritual life with distress in heart. And Krishna is saying to us, you shouldn't worry about sorting out your distress now. There is some other problem, big thing there. This is how Krishna's approach is. So Krishna says in the 57th verse, in the 22nd chapter, 57th verse, Kshiptam avamanitam asadbhi pralabdho asuyito athava tadidaha sannibadhova vrityava parihavida. Asadbihal asadbihi kshiptaha avamanidaha adhava pralabdaha asuidova tadidaha sannidadhova vrutya parihabidova ajni nishtidaha mutridaha evam bahudha prakambidovi krishragadhovi shreyaskamaha altmanam altmana udharet. This is the message from Krishna. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, whatever way by the world, by the world means whatever you receive in this world, it could be anything, good or bad, doesn't matter. Whatever it may be, if they insult you, they ridicule you, or whichever, or they feel envy towards you, they beat you up, or they stop your livelihood, even if they pass urine on you, Krishna is saying here. And in every way, if you are distracted from your state of consciousness, if you are fixed in Krishna consciousness, you shouldn't be disturbed. That's what Krishna is saying here. And not only that, whatever distress you may, problems you get into in life, if you want to advance in spiritual life, Shreyaskama Krishragadaha Almana Almana Mudharem. Shreyaskama Krishragada Almana Almana Mudharem. There is only one point. If you are concerned about your own welfare, Shreyaskama Krishragada, there is only one way. Almana Almana Mudharem. You have to elevate yourself. There is no other way. There is no other way. Nobody else has spoken like the way Krishna has spoken this. Same thing Krishna says to Arjuna also. Uddhared Alpan Alpanam. Alpanam Avasade. Alpanyev Alpano Bandhu. Alpanyeva Ribir Alpana. Is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter. So the same thing Krishna is saying to Uddhava also. Alpan Alpanam Uddhared. It is on your shoulders. Nobody else. No institution, not even a guru, can do anything about it. It is on our shoulders, that responsibility. Alpan, Alpana Mudharet. How much to take spiritual life seriously and how to move forward. That's on our shoulders. Human body, Krishna is saying, I have given it to you. Anyone who has got a human body, that is Krishna's point. I have given you the human body. It's up to you now to utilize that body properly and to come out of this cycle of birth and death. Not to accept another material body again. So, that is how Krishna concluded that chapter. When Krishna said this to Uddhava, Uddhava says to Krishna, Yadheva anibuddhyayam vadano vadadamvara sudusaham imam manya almanya asadadikramam. He vadadamvara yadham eva anibuddhyayam tadano vada. Says to Krishna, Krishna, you are very expert in explaining things. You are so good at that. But tell us a way in such a way that we can reach that state, what you have spoken about. And sudusaham imam manya almanya asada adikramam. And then he says, vidushamabhi vishwalpan prakritirhi beliyasi hride toddharma niradhan shandamste charanalayan. The last words in that chapter, in the 22nd chapter. Uddhava says, Todharma niradhan shandan de charanalayan hrude vidushamabi almani asadaha adikramam sudusahamaham manye. Except those who are so fixed up in spiritual life with in Krishna consciousness and who are extremely in shandi state, except them, others, no matter how knowledgeable or realized they are, they will find it very difficult to tolerate if someone gives some problem, insults or criticism. Because Uddhava says, Prakriti hi beliyasi. Prakriti is beliyasi. Prakriti means our nature is very powerful. Is it not? Our nature is very powerful. It's very, very difficult to change a person's nature. Krishna says this, Svabhava vijayam shauryam. Changing our own svabhavam is very, very difficult, isn't it? Change as well. So that is what Uddhava has told Krishna at that time. That is where we stopped last. So, Durjana. Durjana means people who are evil-minded. They will insult you and they will criticize you in many ways. They will upset you, agitate your mind, and they will feel envy towards you in various ways. This all happens in this world, isn't it? And they may beat you up if they can possible for them. It can even happen that. Or they will put you into a situation that they will destroy your livelihood also. They may spit at you, all kinds of things they can do. But they are called Modha. Why? Because even in that situation, when they do that to you, you should have that tolerance, Krishna is saying, Titiksha, to able to live with that, rather than reacting to that. And why? Because Krishna is one who Shreyaskama Krishragada, Krishna is saying. Shreyaskama. Shreyaskama means one who wants to have a desire for Shreyasa. You know, between Shreyasa and Prayasa. Prayasa is for our material happiness. Shreyasa is our spiritual happiness. Spiritual self-realization is Shreyasa. Material advancement is Prayasa. So those who are desiring Shreyas, Krishna is saying, Krishragadaham, that when these distress is coming in life, what he should do? He should not think that, this is all real in life, or he is insulting me, or he is criticizing me. And thinking like that, you start insulting them and continuously find fault with others. All these things Krishna is saying here, and not thinking about reacting against them. One should never do that. Krishna is saying, Shreyas Kama Krishragadaha Alpana Alpana Mudharet. I know this is on a level which is much higher than our level. Is it not? This what Krishna is saying to Uddhava is on a much higher level, that is. Paramahamsa's level, that knowledge is spoken. Ordinary people will find that very difficult, that Krishna recognizes that. But Krishna is saying to us, if you have developed a sufficient vairagyam inside, renunciation inside, then it is possible. Otherwise it's not possible. Because there is no vairagyam inside, that is why we get upset, is it not? When something happens in life, because we have attachment, we have do not have that same vairagyam like the bhikshu had. Therefore we feel offended, we feel criticized, we feel cursed, or whatever way people treat us. We get affected by that. Why? Because there is no vairagyam inside. This is the point Krishna is bringing out. So now you can see that without vairagyam there is no spiritual life. Proper spiritual life is based on vairagyam. And that comes at a much later date. Initially, vairagyam is difficult for many people, isn't it? Therefore, we take to everything. We want to enjoy life and little bit of spiritual life along with it. But proper spiritual life only begins when Krishna is saying here, Shreyas Kama Krishra Gadaha. That Shreyas Kama, one who has a desire for his own Shreyas, that he wants to know, that he wants to escape from this cycle of birth and death and once for all go back to the, not to come back here again, Krishra Gadaha Alpana Alpana Mudhare. He has to know how to elevate himself. Saying that, so therefore at that stage, all these things one has to take notice of. That means even if one is insulted, or if one is criticized, or if somebody else has given us trouble, at that stage we should be able to go transcend that. We should be able to go beyond than that, not to react to that situation, or not to counteract, or to revengefully react to them. And instead, why should you have to do like that? Actually, those things are not happening here. I know it's a difficult thing to digest. These things are not happening. It is happening because of what? Our avidya. It is happening. Sridharacharya Swamiji, in his Bhagavatam commentary, he mentions this. How does he put it? He puts it in a completely different way. He says there that mithya tarkasu karkasherita mahavadhandakaram brahmin, that unnecessarily, he says in his younger days, he was busy with debate, arguing about Shastram with others. Sridhara Swami mentions this. In the process, what happened? Tval jnana varma spudham, that I have properly did not acquire knowledge about you, about Krishna, means about the self, about Atma. I didn't acquire that, he says. Sriman Madhava Vamana Trinayana Sri Shankara Sri Pade, that various names, you are this, all of this is you, he says to Narasimhamurti. Sridharajarya Swamiji worshipped Narasimhamurti. Narasimhamurti was Sridhara Swami's favorite deity, favorite form of Krishna, what Sridhara Swami worshipped. Sridhara Swami had a special attachment for Narasimha. Throughout the prayers you can see Narasimhamurti is glorified. Sridhara Swami says there in the Bhagavatam, you know the famous words, Aham Veti, Shigo Veti, Vyaso Veti, Cha Narada, Sridhara Sakalam Veti, Sri Narasimha Prasadada. That's the famous words about Sridhara Swami. Lord Shiva says this, I understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aham Veti. Shukadeva Goswami understands Bhagavatam, Shuko Veti. Vyaso Veti cha Narada. Vedavyasa Maharshi understands Bhagavatam. Srinarada Maharshi also understands Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva is saying, Aham Veti, Shuko Veti, Vyaso Veti cha Narada. Then he says, Sridhara Sagalam Veti. Sridharajarya Swamiji knows everything about Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Sri Narasimha Prasadada. Narasimhamurti is pleased with him. Therefore, Sridhara Swami says, Lord Shiva says, Sridhara Swami understands everything about Bhagavatam because he is blessed by Narasimhamurti. So, why? Because Narasimhamurti was his favorite form he worshipped in his life. He had a special attachment. And there is special prayers he wrote about Narasimhamurti where he mentions this. That Sriman Madhav Vamana Trinayana Sri Shankara Sri Pade, addressing Krishna is all different forms. Govindedi and Govinda, he says there. Asking Krishna to reveal this knowledge unto him. Knowledge unto him. And there he is saying, Yal Satayal Sadabadi Jagadeyad Asal Soda Sadabasam Asatyasmin Bhagavandam Bhajamyaham. What an explanation it is. It's an unbelievable explanation he gives here. Yal Satayal Sadabadi Jagadeyad Asal Soda. He says to Krishna Narasimhamurti, look at this, the situation I am in, he says. What is not true is this Jagat, this world. This world is not true, he says. But Maya is so powerful, she has convinced you that this world is real. Yal Satayal Sadabhadi Jagad Eda Asal Sada. Its nature is Asat. The world, by nature, it is Asat. But Maya has put us and made us to convinced us that this world is real. Is it not? Which is our experience. That's why we are busy in the world. Yal Satayal Sadabhadi Jagadeya Asal Swada. And what else has she done? Sadavasam Asatyasmin Bhagavandam Bhajamyaham. She has also convinced us what is real, the truth, is false. What is the truth? Truth is Krishna, Atma, isn't it? And she has put us in such a way that you will never believe that there is a thing called Atma. In such a way she is keeping us here. Sridhara Swami's prayers to Narasimhamurti. Yal Satayal Sadabhadi Jagadeya Asal Swadam Sadabhasam Asatyasmin Bhagavandam Bhajamyaham. I have no other choice, he says to Narasimhamurti, except to take your shelter, because this is the deepest ignorance all of us are in. This is the deepest ignorance we are in, isn't it? And because it is like that, the world is not real. This is the first thing to know. It is Maya. And Maya is so powerful that she has made us she has convinced us that this is the only truth. The world is the truth. Is that not true when you look at it? That billions and billions of living entities are thinking that this world is real and busy with the world. Is it not? Instead, the real thing, which is Atma, the soul, she will not allow you to have any access to that. That is that verse. Yal satayal sada bhadi jagadeva asat swadam sada abhasam asatyasmin bhagavandam bhajamyaham. I have no choice, he says. Who? Shridhara Swami says there, I have no choice except to take your shelter because she has put us in this awkward situation, Maya. Maya has convinced us that this world is real, and that is why we are able to be so absorbed in this world. Otherwise, why? How come that knowing very well that we had come here without any understanding about this place, isn't it? When we came here, what knowledge we had? We were just thrown here. But the moment we got here, we started thinking this is all real. And till the last minute we leave this, our planning goes on. Planning, programming, everything goes on one after the other. And one day you are taken out from here without any notice. Nobody knows when it will happen, but you are taken out from here. And at that time you cannot even say anything about it. And but still, the time you are here, you are so busy with the place. Shridhara Swami says this. Yal satayal sadabadi jagadeya dasat swada sadabhasam asatyasmin bhagavandam bhajamyaham. I have no other way, he says, except to take your shelter to get me out of this ignorance I am in. This is my avidya. At least Shridhara Swami recognizes that, isn't it? That avidya is there. So, so because it is like that, Krishna's point to Uddhava is that, this exactly the same thing Krishna is saying to Uddhava. That when all these things are happening in life, somebody is insulting you, praising you, cursing you, whatever that's going on, knowing well that none of them is real, you have to know to tolerate. This is Krishna's point. I know we'll hear all this, but the next moment the whole thing can change again. That's the way the world is. But that is Maya. So you can see how Maya is more powerful than us. Yal satayal sadabadi jagadeya dasaswada sadabasam asatyasam bhagavandam bhajamyaham. So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, unless our purification is so high inside, when Krishna says all these things, it won't click. We will still think that, Krishna can say all these things. But I know my problem. I know how difficult it is to survive in this world. How much I have to deal with the people. That you can say whatever you like, but then if you have taken Krishna's instructions seriously, then we have to accept what Krishna is saying, otherwise it has no meaning, isn't it? So, in that 58th verse, Krishna mentions there that Shreyaskama Krishragadha Alpana Alpana Mudharet, that never to react to anybody, to any situation, with any revenge or vengeful way, rather accepted everything, knowing well that none of them is real. None of it is real. And in that way, one should maintain that shanti inside. One should maintain the shanti inside. And that is Shreyas, Krishna is saying here. So, only such a person, in due course of time, will be able to escape from material existence. Only such a person, in due course of time, will be able to escape from the material existence. Because by one's own power of discrimination, one should elevate oneself. One should elevate oneself. And knowing very well who he is. Knowing very well who he is. So, that purpose for which, suppose you have taken to that process and you are living in this world, you will have to deal with many people, many, many bad people who have different purposes for that. So, if you ask the question, the bad people or who are creating trouble for you, suppose somebody is giving you trouble, so many people will give you trouble, not only one, there will be many. Suppose if they give you trouble, how is he able to do that? Has he got that freedom to do that? Others, why are they picking on me? Why are they turning against me? Why do they give me trouble? If you ask that question, that there is another reason behind it. That is called prarabdham. That's called prarabdham. Because without that prarabdham, this cannot happen. Sometimes you will see some people have given you enough problems in life. You have not done anything particularly. You think that you have not done any harm to them. But still, in life, you will see in your relationship, they have turned against you. That is prarabdham. And some others, they don't give you any trouble. They deal with you in a reasonable way and they go in life. But some people, they'll constantly give you trouble in some way or the other. And that is prarabdham. That prarabdham is coming here. So, if that prarabdham is happening, that means that without that, this cannot happen. This Bhikshu will talk about that in detail. Bhikshu Gita, when we start, we'll see there. So something must have happened in previous relationships in this world or some other place and time, that whatever you have done, that's coming back. Otherwise it won't come back in that way. I know it's difficult sometimes too, because we are right now concerned about this moment in time, isn't it? But something must have done, we must have done something to somebody. So that comes back to us. Everyone, it is like that. It will come back to us in some form. So the karma, what we have done in the past, its matured form is prarabdham. You remember that? When we done some karma in the past, its matured form is prarabdham. That means that thing has taken a long period of time to react. And karma is such a thing. This is why Vedam Shastram all tells us that karma is something one has to be very careful about. See? So sometimes it can come through nimittam. Nimitta karana means it can happen through some agency in some form. Sometimes it comes through some persons to you. And sometimes through objects it can come. Sometimes through time and space it can happen. So in various ways it can come to you, that prarabdham. Over a period of time or a period of space. Space means that suppose you had some prarabdham, Krishna will, the material nature will make sure that to finish up that prarabdham, you will be taken away from where you were born to another place. And there you will be brought closer to those to with whom your prarabdham is still there. That's the way it is. Sometimes you can see this if you study people's life. How you have ended up here, if you ask, you don't know. Sometimes in India particularly we'll say this, that a lot of people say we want to go to America, they say. And some people in America say, we want to go to India, they are saying in America. Some of them, they want to go to India, because they say everything is very spiritual there, if you get there. So, and the Indians are thinking, what spiritual, we go to America, I can have practice spiritual life in America also. They are running there. What is the force behind it, which is throwing them out and back? Prarabdham. If that person's prarabdham is to finish, there must be some reason there that he has to be there. So through time, through space, it can happen. And it happens in a particular time in life. For a certain number of years, you have to spend in certain place, in association with certain people. So their certain prarabdham has to complete there. So it is at that time, Krishna is saying here, that when such thing happens, you have to take it that it is the result of my own actions in the past, and you have to stay quiet without complaining about it. And for that purpose, you should not curse or criticize or complain about them. And this is Shreyas Kama. Krishna is saying, Shreyas Kama means that one who can do that. Shreyas Kama Krishragadaha Alman Alpana Mudharet. It's a very higher understanding of life, isn't it? Now, this principle others also have spoken. But what Krishna is saying to us is that if this is happening for two, three reasons. First thing is that nothing is real here. That is the first thing to remember. When you get insulted or when you get put into problems like this, when you are put into serious difficulties in life, Krishna's point is, remember this, he said, nothing is real here. World is not real. World is not real. You can say anything, whether it is temporary or whatever it is, but in reality, this world is not real. That is the first understanding. This also, Krishna will speak against this later in the Bhagavad. You have to go to that stage at that time when Krishna says this. So initially Krishna is saying to us that what Sridhara Swami mentions in the Bhagavadam, that sadavasam asatyasmin bhagavandam bhajamyaham, that we are all convinced that the world is real today. That is why we are so active in the world, is it not? So that conviction, you see, ajnanam or avidya is not knowing that world is not real. That alone is not enough. But what is other ajnanam? The ajnanam is that what is real, we do not know. That is also avidya. Real thing is only Atma, the soul, Krishna. That's the only real thing, and that we do not know. That is avidya. Avidya means that you don't know that the world is not real, but instead you also know that Krishna is not real. Atma is not real. That's the state we are in today, isn't it? So two things at the same time. Just like you have got the snake and the rope. First of all, you didn't know that it was not rope. Is it not? It was not rope. That's the first ignorance. That you saw something, you thought that it is not rope. If it is finished with that, it was okay. But instead, what happened? You thought it is snake. That is the second ignorance. The first ignorance is that you didn't know it was not rope. That's the first ignorance. Second ignorance is that you thought it is a snake. It was not a snake, is it not? So, similarly, this is why that example in the Bhagavadam in three or four places, you will see Rajasarpam. Rajasarpam. For this reason only. We think that the world is not real, Krishna is saying. World is not real. Okay, we accept that. But then we don't know what is real either, which is Krishna. Krishna is the real thing. Krishna is real. Atma is real. And we don't know that. So the same Rajasarpam example is like that. It's like that. So it is at that time Uddhava said to Krishna that your words are so sweet when you speak. He says to Krishna, your words are so sweet. You are so expert in delivering this message. And children who doesn't know, even for them, they can understand this. And you are talking about this such a serious thing. It is a serious topic, is it not? It is a serious topic. I know on an intellectual level you can say, yes, yes, I understand. But in realization level, what do we have? If somebody says to us, world is not real, we will say, oh yeah, yeah. I agree with you, world is not real. That's all. That's finished there. Isn't it? So that is the difficulty, you can see. But when Krishna is saying this, Uddhava is not saying like that the way we say. Uddhava is saying to Krishna, the way you are saying that, when he is hearing from Krishna, Uddhava is realizing it, that the world is not real. That's the difference. World is not real. Instead, Krishna, Uddhava also is saying that you are the only real thing. Krishna is only real thing, and that I do not know either. So these level, two levels of ignorance in everybody. That's what Krishna is saying, Uddhava is saying here. So it is an amazing thing, says Uddhava. It's an amazing thing. And he says to him, I have a doubt, you have mentioned this to me before, that no matter others do anything to you, gives you any trouble or problems, you shouldn't get upset about it, isn't it? And when the bad people, when they do such things, when they speak so rudely and harsh towards you, I think that I find it very difficult to bear that, Uddhava says to Krishna. Suppose I'm walking through the street, Uddhava says, somebody spat at you on your face. And how will he tolerate that? Uddhava asks that question, isn't it? So, or someone talks to you in an insulting way, or somebody talks ill about you to others and spreads rumors about you and gives you all trouble. How will I tolerate that? And Krishna is saying at that time that, as you mentioned, Uddhava also says to Krishna, that if you want to go on a higher level, there is no choice except to tolerate it. This is the words Krishna has used. Look at that word. Krishna is saying here that Vidushamabhi Vishwalpman. Uddhava is saying this. Prakritirhi Beliyasi. Beliyasi. Krite Tvadharma Niranan. Shandamste Charanalayan. The 22nd chapter, the last verse. So, he says that many learned people are there in this world who have studied Shastram. Even for them, to overcome that Swabhavam is very difficult. Overcome the Swabhavam, very difficult. They are unable to win over their own nature. Or if somebody criticizes your nature, you are finding it difficult to bear that, isn't it? And normally our nature is to react, give back to them. And, or if he gives me trouble, I'll give him trouble as well, isn't it? Some people, for no reason, they find some happiness in making fun of about others, isn't it? So like this, there are different nature with different people. So this Swabhavam, this nature in a person, has come from the previous life according to his karma vasana. That means, based on the karma we have done in our previous life, on that vasana what we have cultivated, that is developed in the form of swabhava, form of swabhavam in this life. And as long as that vasana is inside, swabhavam, it is very difficult to change. It's very difficult to change the swabhava. So, even if they are very educated people, even if they are very learned people, Krishna is saying here, so they cannot control themselves because swabhavam is so powerful. Very beliyasi, pragadihi beliyasi, he says. And this swabhavam is a accumulated vasanas from previous life. Previous life. So, if it is, even for educated people, if it is like that, what about the ordinary people? People who have studied Shastram and who have understood everything. Even for them, if their vasanas from previous life is like that, they cannot change. Even they find it difficult, even though they have educated. If it is like that, ordinary people who are not educated, what chance have they got to change their nature? So, Uddhava is asking this question and says to him, if it is like that, but some people who have taken your shelter, Krishna's shelter, completely, and always absorbed in Krishna, somehow or the other, absorbed in Krishna, and tadalmagaha, and through bhakti, they have managed to change that nature. Change that nature. Through bhakti they have changed that nature. So bhakti is required. Bhakti is unavoidable. It is through bhakti, Uddhava says to Krishna, that some people may have escaped from their swabhava. From their swabhava. Otherwise, for ordinary people, even though they have studied a lot, still they will not be able to transcend this Subhav. Transcend this Subhav, says Uddhava to Krishna. Uddhava says, unless somebody is a very highly, who has such a strong attachment for Krishna, through that strong attachment to Krishna, they may be able to change their Subhav, that they will not commit such activities in this world. That means reacting to others when they react to you, or when they criticize you not to react, or when they... That means only through bhakti, Uddhava says, if you are such an advanced devotee, then you may be able to free yourself from that problem, from the vasana, problem of the vasana, from inside. So it is at that time, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is like this, let them criticize, but if you want to go up, you have to tolerate this. And I'll tell you four things, he says to Krishna. Krishna says to Uddhava, what are they? That first thing, there is a person who has done that about him. I'll talk to you about him. And then secondly, through philosophical understanding, it is possible. But bhakti is necessary in everything. Whether it is in Bhikshu Gita, you require bhakti. Bhakti is the very strong ingredient there. Then the second one Krishna is saying is Prakriti Purusha Vivekam, that is Sankhyam. That is why the next chapter Krishna has spoken. After this, to get the control on the mind, Krishna is saying this, Manojayam. Manojayam is essential in spiritual life, is it not? Manojayam means control of the mind is essential in spiritual life. That is what Krishna has spoken. In the sixth chapter also you can see that. Krishna says this. That Arjuna also said that to Krishna, is it not? About controlling the mind. Most difficult. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dradam. So this mind, subtle body, is the most difficult thing to control. Till that comes under control, you cannot do anything in spiritual life. Everything what you do in this world is secondary. It's all directed towards this one thing, control of the mind. And control of the mind means able to control the mind and not to react to situations. When somebody insults you, offends you, criticizes you, rude to you, whatever, and not to feel any revenge inside. That requires a very higher level of realization inside. And Uddhava said, only those great devotees who had such a strong attachment to you, they may be able to do that, Uddhava said. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, it's not 100% true. It is necessary to have that bhakti, but at the same time, let me explain to you four things, he said. How people control their mind. And the first example is this Avanti Brahmana, Bhikshu, whose story Krishna spoke about, how he controlled himself through Vairagyam. He reached that. Secondly, through Jnanam, that is Sankhyam. Prakriti Purusha Vivekam, that is the next chapter. And thirdly, after talking about Sankhyam in the next chapter, immediately first we are going to talk about Bhikshu Gita. Bhikshu's realization through Vairagyam. Secondly, through Sankhyam, how people have controlled their mind. Discriminating between Prakriti and Purusha. Satya and Asatya. Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. Prakriti Purusha Vivekam. How they have controlled their mind. Then thirdly, Krishna says, how understanding the modes of nature, how transcending the modes of nature, how one can control the mind. That is the third chapter. So first Bhikshu Gita, secondly Sankhyam, third is through modes of nature. Transcending the modes of nature, how one can control the mind. The third. And the fourth, like Bhikshu, how Ailan, Puriravasa has done that in a different way. All of them did the same thing. Bhikshu did the same thing. Puriravasa did the same thing. And Sankhyam talks about the same thing. And modes of nature transcending the same thing. The goal of all these four is to get the control of the mind. Is to get the control of the mind. That's the most important principle. The reason is, Krishna is saying, to come to all these four, first of all you have to recognize that the world is not real. That's the first thing. If you keep on saying the world is real, everything is here, I have to sort, let me sort out my world first, and then I'll come to this, it's not going to happen. First of all, we have to accept this, that the world is not real. So only if you have gone a little bit higher, only then you can take all these Ekadasham seriously. But as long as you are thinking that the world is real and I have so many problems in this world, I have to sort all these problems, only after that I can take Krishna's word seriously, then it is not going to happen. Let the world go its own way. You can't do anything about it. First of all, it's not real. That is why Krishna is keep on repeating this to us. That, and Shridhara Swami mentions this very clearly in the Bhagavatam. In so many places, that was only one incident. Yal satayal sadabhadi jagadeya asaswadam sadabhasam asatyasmin bhagavandam bhajamiham. He says to Narasimhamurti. So all the great personalities have taken this approach. It is not important whether the world is real or not. But as for that is a little deeper understanding, because what is this world? Where does this world exist? It is in you the world is. World is not outside. Is it not? That is the first thing. So first of all that realization is necessary. That where is the world? Where is inside us? If you are not there, the world is not there, isn't it? Because you are there, the world is there. Suppose you have gone. And where is the world then? What world impact has it got on us? So from various ways, if you look at it, you can see that the world is not a real thing. The Shramurti Sotram is the whole thing talking about this. That the world doesn't exist. World is existing because we have made that connection with the world. Therefore, world is existing. So in order to win the mind, that's the most important topic here. Because it is inside the mind the world is. The world is inside this mind. Everything is inside the mind. First thing, Bhikshugita. Secondly, Sankhyam. Third is three modes of nature, winning over the three, Gunavritti. That means the Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, how to... If you go beyond the three modes, you will win the mind. Because what is mind? Mind is nothing but three modes of nature. Isn't it? Mind is nothing but three modes of nature. Like the thought waves are coming, and that is what's called mind. And what is the thought waves? Thought waves is a product of these three modes of material nature. They create the different thought waves inside. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. So, you can either transcend the three modes of nature, or you can through Prakriti Purusha Vega Yogam, that means through Sankhyam, you can cross over the mind. Or like Bhikshu, through Vairagyam, you can cross over this. Or like Pururavas, like the way it happened with Pururavas and Urvashi, you can get over this world. So getting out of this world is the most important thing. Getting out of this world. So these four episodes from now on is all related to this one topic. How to get over the mind. How to go beyond the mind. It happened to Bhikshu in one way. It happened to Pururavas in another way. Happened to Pururavas in another way. That's all. Pururavas, a great personality, big king, emperor he was not even a king, he was an emperor. So Pururavas managed to come over that with his interaction with Urvashi. He learned that. The necessity to, it took a long time for him. He had to go through a very hard time to break away from this world. And for Bhikshu also it took some time. He had to experience that, what he had experienced, isn't it? So all these things are coming in the next chapter. So first of all, Shri Badarayani Ruvacham Sa Eva Masham Siddha Muddhavena Bhagavata Mukhyena Dasharha Mukhyam Sabhajayan Vrityavajo Mukundas Tamapabhashe Shravaniya Viryaha Sharvaniya Viryaha Dasharha Mukhyasaha Mukunda Evam Bhagavata Mukhyena Uddhavena Asham Siddhaha Vrityavajaha Sabhajayantamabhashe. So, first thing, Badarayani Ruvacha. Badarayani means Sukadeva Goswami said. Sukadeva Goswami is saying to him, Sharvaniya Virya, he says, that Sharvaniya Virya means that that Bhagavan Krishna is Sharvaniya Virya. Krishna's glories are always worthwhile listening to. Worthwhile listening to. And Krishna's glory is Sharvaniya Virya. so glorified about Krishna because it's about Atma. Therefore, it is the highest thing to be spoken in this world, isn't it? You can talk about various things in this world, but when you talk about Atma, that is the highest thing to talk about here in this creation. Everything is because of the presence of Atma that happens here. So when you talk about Atma, that is the greatest thing that is spoken in this world. You can say anything in this world, but nothing is in comparison with Atma. So he says here that when he heard this word, sa eva masham sidam uddhavena, Shuka Brahmarshi says here that when Uddhava spoke this in that way, among the devotees also, they will find it very difficult. It's not easy for every devotee to tolerate all these things. But still, one who is so fixed up in spiritual life, so fixed up in spiritual life means who has taken Krishna's words very seriously. Those who have taken Krishna's words very seriously, he may be able to tolerate this. That means if you have taken Krishna's words very seriously, then you will be able to tolerate all the insults and other problems of this world. This is the way Shuka Brahmarshi is saying here, that such a person may be able to do that. Because if you have taken Krishna's word seriously, it means that you have proper bhakti. You have proper bhakti. Unalloyed bhakti, what called, isn't it? Pure bhakti, pure devotion. So Uddhava is saying that such persons can do that. So Dasharha Mukhya. Dasharha means among the Yadavas, it is a branch of that Yadavas is Dasharha. Dasharha Mukhya, he says here. And Krishna is one of the Dasharhas. That is an important person among them. He accepted this question from Uddhava. Don't try to think about these things too much, because what you have to know here is that this level of discussion between Krishna and Uddhava is happening in a very higher level, that we have to know that. We haven't reached that level and we think that, oh, what is there so much important to say? We may think like that. We shouldn't do that, because you can see Krishna is 125 years in this world. It is then this is spoken. Uddhava is also in the same level. Both of them had spent enough time in this world. 125 years old, both. They are at the same age, more or less. And together, they have spent about 115 years together. In this 125. Because when Krishna meets Uddhava first time, he was about 10 or 12 years old. That's when Krishna met Uddhava first time in Mathura. And then Krishna appointed Uddhava as the Prime Minister from then on. And then they were together for the rest of the whole life. So they spent a long time together, and both of them have analyzed life very much. Krishna has, in his own way, has spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and has spoken Ekadasha Skandam now to Uddhava also. Uddhava has his own realizations. He is a disciple of Brihaspati. Disciple of Brihaspati. And very intelligent person. It says in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Vrishninam pravaro mandri krishnasya daida sagha. Shishyo Brihaspati. Brihaspati Shishya. Shishyo Brihaspati Sachal Uddhava Buddhisattama. Highly intelligent person. So that means when a discussion is happening between Krishna and Uddhava, you have to know that it is happening in a much, much subtle level. It is happening there in a very, very subtle level. So just do not take it on an intellectual level and leave it there. Oh, I understood that. You have not understood the gravity of the situation there, what is being discussed between Krishna and Uddhava. Uddhava is saying to Krishna that because both of them are realized people, Krishna has full realization of everything, isn't it? As the absolute truth. And Uddhava also had deep realizations. Uddhava was sent to Vrindavanam to console the gopis by Krishna, and Uddhava comes back and reports back to Krishna, what I have seen, I have not seen anywhere else, he says, about the gopis, seeing their bhakti. So Uddhava has seen what is bhakti means, and Uddhava is a disciple of Brihaspati, and Uddhava knows the Shastram well. He's not an ignorant person. And when a discussion is happening between Shri Krishna, Uddhava, Samvadam, it is happening in a much, much subtle level than we can even imagine. We don't even understand that, the gravity of this discussion between Krishna and Uddhava. So, but still, with our limited understanding, we will still try to get something out of it, if not everything. That's all you can do in this situation. Ekadasha Skandam's gravity and depth is, you cannot even measure it. It is that deep it is, the whole subject, when it comes to that. So, he started saying here that he says, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, in the second verse, he says here, that whatever Uddhava has spoken, Krishna appreciated that. If you have that bhakti, it is possible, Uddhava says, but how many people in this world has got that bhakti? Uddhava is keeping the mind in his mind the gopis. If you have that level like the gopis had, then it is possible that their swabhavam, they have gone beyond their swabhavam, their mind. They have gone beyond than that. You can see in the gopis' case, isn't it? They threw away all attachment to the world and walked out of it from home. No family life, no children, no husband, nothing. They don't care anymore anything. That is not possible for everyone. That's only possible for a few personalities like that. Gopi is Krishna, Uddhava says. So Uddhava's point is, those who are like that, for them it is possible to go beyond the swabhava, one's own nature. But majority of the people in this world don't have that capacity. Hardly, very, very few. Uddhava says to Krishna. Krishna says, yes, that's true. That's true. That is why he says to Uddhava, next verse, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Varhaspatya Savai Natra Sadhurvai Durjaneritehi Durukter Bhinnama Almanam Yas Samadhadumi Ishvara. He Varhaspatya Ya Durjanerite Duruktehi Bhinnam Almanam Samadhadu Ishvara Sa Sadhu Atra Nasti. So, Krishna is also acknowledging, O disciple of Brihaspati, he says. Brihaspati means disciple of Brihaspati. Then, when bad people, when people, somebody turns against you and starts speaking ill and very heavy, fiery words towards you, and if at that time to tolerate that and not get the mind agitated, practically Krishna is saying, there is very, very rare people who can do that. Krishna is saying that. Then as soon as somebody gets really bad, turns to you and starts speaking very, very ill, criticizing you or giving you all sorts of problems, it will be very difficult for anyone to tolerate that. That's world, isn't it? There's nothing you can say about it. You will limit, up to a limit you may ignore it or you may tolerate it. But finally, Krishna is saying it is very difficult. Krishna is saying that. It is very, very difficult. The reason Krishna is saying for that is in the next verse. Natadhatapyadevidha pumanbane sumarmagehi yadha tudandi marmasta asadam parusheshavaha marmastaha Asadam parusheshavaha yada tudandi tatha sumarmage bhane abhi vidaha na tapyade. Sometimes people can speak so harsh that their words are like arrows. They can come. And you can even tolerate an arrow hurting your body, but their words you can't. They are more powerful than the arrows. Krishna is saying this. Krishna is saying like that, isn't it? So he says, Krishna says that whatever, I have said this before, he says to Uddhava, whatever somebody says, you should be able to tolerate. That's what Krishna is expecting from us. And even a slightest, with all the greatest provocations you have, you should not react to it. You should not react to it. And practically, I can say there is no such sadhu in this world. No such sadhu. They are very, very rare. Krishna is acknowledging this to Uddhava. They are very, very rare. And when they do something to you, somebody gives you some trouble, and to accept that without any movement inside of the mind, and not to feel any revenge towards them, such people, Krishna says, is they are called sajjanam. Sajjanam means people who are with that good heart. Krishna says to them, they are extremely rare. Extremely rare in this world. So, somebody is joking about you, or abusing you, or finding faults with you, and so many things they have done, and naturally anyone will get, at some point he will react to that situation. That is the nature of this world. And practically Krishna saying, among the human species, that is a very rare thing. That's a very rare thing. So, when somebody speaks rude or harsh to you, Krishna is saying, because it is more painful than arrows shot at you. If somebody shoots some arrows at you, it's not that painful. This is more painful to the body. Because it's like that, to tolerating that is a big sadhana, Krishna says. It's a sadhana. We say sadhana is only chanting the holy name, isn't it? This is real sadhana. This is the much important sadhana than the others. That when somebody has spoken to you something harsh or rude or something like that, which is more painful than the arrows that hits the body, Krishna says, if you can tolerate that, that is the greater sadhana than any other sadhana is. Any other sadhana. So, and a person was able to do that, Krishna says. And he had that experience. No matter what happened to him, that person, he did not react even once to such a situation. And he tolerated everything. And I'm going to tell you about that person. And is it possible, if you ask the question? Yes, it happened to him. I'm going to say that. Krishna says to Uddhava, he says, Kathayandi mamahal punyam idihasam ihodhava tamaham varnayishyami nibhodam susamahida. Then, hey Uddhava, mahalpanaha atra adipunyam idihasam kathayandi. Krishna consider that this incident of this Avanti's Brahmana is a adipunyam idihasam. It's one of the most glorious things happened in spiritual life. Krishna likes this more than anything else. Why? He says, because that person has succeeded in doing that. He says, I'm congratulating him for that. That he managed to do it. So much distress came in life and he did not react to anything. It's very difficult that, isn't it? One level, okay, it's one thing when somebody speaks to you harsh. Either you can go away from that. I don't want to see that person anymore. That's one way of escaping from that. But a lot of distress also comes in life, and not to react to that. That requires a much higher realization inside, isn't it? And Krishna is saying, this person, story I'm going to talk about, is like that. He had everything. Then, listen to this, he says, very carefully to Uddhava. Kenachil bichuna gidam paribodena durjane smarada dhriti yuktena vipakam nijakarmana. That bad people, they have given a lot of trouble to him. And this person, he tolerated everything, thinking that it is his karma, his prarabdha. In that way, he has accepted it. So the bichu, I'm going to talk about that, Krishna says, a song that he had sung. And in many ways, he was disturbed, put into distress. And people who have told him that whatever others have done to him, he may be a bad person, but whatever others have done to him, It will only come according to his prarabdham. According to his prarabdham. If we can remember this, it helps. That's all I can say that. If we can remember this, because it is possible in life, we will feel sometimes very strong inside in the mind, revenge towards others, isn't it? Some strong revenge, somebody has done something which we are finding it unbearable in some way. At that point in time, we have to take shelter of this understanding. There's no way Krishna is saying to us. The important thing is not who has won or lost. That's not the important thing. Important thing is, have we succeeded in that situation to make spiritual progress from that? That's the most important thing. All these experiences in life is only, like Dattatreya Maharshi said, isn't it? 24 spiritual masters, he learned something from them. So Krishna is also putting in front of, throwing some experience in front of us. Our prarabdham is the best teacher. It comes to us in different ways. In the form of family members, in the form of society, in the form of friends, and so many ways they come. And they come, and it is due to prarabdham that they have come as members of the family, as friends, as society. That's why, otherwise what connection have you got with any of them? Either with the family members, or with the friends, or with the society. Why the connection has come? Because of prarabdham. Because of prarabdham it has come. And because it has come prarabdham, that prarabdham will bring its prarabdha karma with them. It will come. They will bring that prarabdha karma with them and they will put it in front of you. It can be your mother, it can be your father, it can be your brother, sister, no matter who it is. It will come. It is that prarabdham that has brought family members together, friends together. So there are so many people in this world. Everybody is not your friend. But some people you call yourself as friends, isn't it? Oh, it's a good friend of mine, they say. Why is a good friend? Because it's a good prarabdham to finish up. That's why it's a good friend. That's all it is. There's a good amount of prarabdham to clear up. Therefore, he's a good friend of mine. And similarly, you talk about enemies also. He's my number one enemy, we say. People say like that, isn't it? He's number one enemy. Why? Because there is some prarabdham between the two. Otherwise, there is no connection between the two. Between the two. So this good friend, good enemy, all these things is because of this prarabdham. And that if we keep that in mind, then you won't feel so distressed when things go out of control in life. Because things can happen very easily in life. While at office, while at home, while at friends, and so many different ways it comes. It comes somehow. And you start thinking, oh, he has done like this, he has spoken to me about me like this, he doesn't like me, or something like that. We will think about ourselves and it will start building up inside. Krishna is saying to us that, try to understand why they have come in the first instance like this. You didn't know when you came to this world. Only after 25-30 years you got married, then the relationship started with the husband, husband's family, or wife's family. All the relationships, and you take it so seriously, you start thinking that he's my husband, he's my wife, and that's my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, this way, that way. All it builds up around that. In reality, what does it mean? Nothing. Just that prarabdham is keeping it all together. So, it is the force of that prarabdham, and that is keeping us together. That is a very powerful force. That's why I say here. Kenajit Bhikshuna Gidam Paribhutena Durjanai Smarado Dhridiyuktena Vipakam Nija Karmanam. Krishna is saying, Vipakam Nija Karmanam. Karmam has become matured. That is called prarabdha. Vipakam means that thing that has got matured. And we are reading all this and says there is no such thing for karmam for devotees, we are saying. How you can accept all this? So that means they are not reading Bhagavatam, isn't it? Not reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying this, that vipakam nija karmanam. Krishna is saying openly that the karmam is there. Karmam is there. That won't go away easily. So, that is why. Now, Krishna is going to talk about the story of that brahmana. So, from now onwards, from the sixth verse onwards, right up to 42. Is the story. From the 6 to 42 is the story. Story means how it happened, where it happened, when it happened, all other things about the Brahmana. After that is Vitrugida. That means from verse 43 onwards up to 58, I think. Yes, is Vitrugida. So this has got two parts. First part is the background, which is this from 6 verse onwards. And then the second part is the Tattva, Tattva Jnana, Vedanta, pure Vedanta packed into nicely from 42 to 258. So, Avandishu Dijakaschil Asi Adhyadamashriyah Vartavritti Kadaryastu Kami Lubdhodikopanah. Avandishu Vartavritti Kadaryah Kami Lubdha Adhikopanah Shriya Adhyadamah Kaschul Dijah Asit. In Avanti, he says there that a Brahmana Shrestha was a Brahmana was there in Avanti. And he says here, you will see, Kaschil Dasi Adhyadama Shriyaha. Adhyadama. Adhyami. Among the Brahmana, there are different gradations. Brahmana who are not very advanced in spiritual life, but on a material level, they are wealthy, or by birth they'll say that we are born in a higher Brahmana family. Among the Brahmanas also there is this problem. So they are called Adhya. Adhya means, Adhyadama means on a very higher level Brahmana. Not due to his self-realization, but due to his material opulence. He was a very wealthy person, he was. So, why Adhyadamaha Shriyaha? Why he was Adhya? Because of wealth. Shriyaha, says Krishna says there. Isn't it? Adhyadamaha Shriyaha. And he says Vartavritti. Vartavritti means that his main occupation was Vaishya. He was a Vaishya in many ways. Agriculture and business. Two things. Although he was a Brahmana, he didn't act like a Brahmana in the proper way. By birth he was a Brahmana, but by profession he was more a Vaishya. He was engaged in land, buying land, cultivation of the land, means big level farming he was doing. And then he also had business, he was doing a lot of business also. So, Krishi and Vanijyam, both he did. He did. And Vartavritti. That is what Vartavritti means. Krishna says here, Avandishu, he was a Dvija. See, very precisely Krishna defines him first. He was a Dvija. Dvija means twice born. That means he was just given a Brahmin initiation, but he was not a Brahmana. In essence, he was not. He was just a Dvija. That means you have by birth he got his position as a Brahmana. Then Adhyadama. But he was very wealthy, therefore he was very Adhyan. Adhya means in a very higher level. Why? Shriyaha. Adhyanama Shriya, because of wealth. Vartavritti, his main business was agriculture and business. That's what he did. Then his quality, Krishna is saying, Kadaryastu Kami Lubdham Atikopanaha. All four things he says. He was Kadaryastu Kami Lubdha Adhikopanam. Four things he says there. So, Kadaryam. Kadaryam means extremely miser. Extremely miser means that even for his own purpose he won't spend money. There are sometimes people like that. Too miserly they are, isn't it? Kami. Kami means Kadaryam and Kami, that's a difference. Kami means that he has a lot of desires. He has a lot of desires. And but at the same time, he can't enjoy anything. Because if you want to enjoy, you have to spend money. He doesn't want to spend any money. So he can't enjoy anything. That was his situation. Because he can't enjoy, he won't spend any money, he can't enjoy anything in this world. So, kadaryastu kamina. And what else? Lubdha. Lubdha means he had a lot of greed, lobham. One who has got a lobham, greed, he is called a lubdha. Krishna says like that. So, lobham and kadaryam, two things Krishna mentions there. There's a big difference there between lobham and kadaryam. Kadarya means such a miserly person that he won't give this to anybody. He won't give it to anybody and he also won't enjoy it. That's very difficult, isn't it? That he's got a lot of money, he won't give it to anybody and he also won't enjoy anything. Lubdha means from others he wants to get everything. He wants to get everything from others. That means anything he sees wealth anywhere, he wants it. And this was his quality. So, kadaryastu, kami, lubdha, and finally, atikopanam. Atikopanam means that he was always getting very angry. He was also getting very angry. Very cutthroat businessman, we say, isn't it? Sometimes some people are like that. They make money like this and that's their happiness in life. Making a lot of money, somehow or the other. And they know that if they are not like that in business, they have to be like that to ruthless and that is why they have become rich. They were able to be like that. That is a nature in that person. So, how was that? Nyadhideyo adhidayastasya vang matrayana abhinarchidaha Vangmatrayana binarchidaha Shunya avastha almabi kale kame anarchidaha. Krishna is just giving the background of that person. He says, Tasya jnadaya adhidaya vangmatrayana binarchidaha. This is interesting. Krishna says, he had relations and friends who will come, but he won't speak to them in a friendly way because he felt that if I talk to them nicely, they may ask something. So best thing is, I remain very serious. So he won't even give an opportunity to them to ask any help from him. Because if they ask, then I'll have to give it to them. And so best thing is that I remain very serious. That was just his nature. Krishna says like that. He says, so yadrachiyam, Krishna says the word, Adhideyasya vangmaitravi narchidaha shunyavasa almavi. So guest comes or at home or by accident anybody comes, the normal rule is the householder should receive them nicely and speak to them nicely. And even if you can't do anything for them, at least welcome them to the house and receive them nicely and speak to them nicely. This is the rule. He knows that. This Brahmana knows that. But he won't even offer some few good words to the visitors. Krishna says here that vang matrena bhi narchidaha. Even with the words, he won't do any archana. Archana means offering. He won't make an offering, even with words, or to talk about giving anything to them. Vang matrenabi na archidaha. Because it's not very difficult to say, to make some nice words to some people, isn't it? Doesn't cost anything. I haven't seen you for a long time. At least today you felt like coming, visiting us. How nice it is. And some few nice words like that to speak, even that's not difficult. But even that he wouldn't do. If somebody comes to his door, he will say, why have you come? Have you got an appointment? Did you ring me up before? Or that was his mood. That's the way he is. Because if you say some nice words, he felt I'll have to give him something. That's why he has come. So because of this, he will not speak even some few good words to him. Therefore, the house was, Krishna says here, shunya avastha. What is shunya avastha? Shunya avastha means in that house things won't be there, what is needed at the time when you need it. That's the important thing. Krishna says shunyavastha. Shunyavastha means, though what is required won't be there in the house. That means in order to execute dharmam, what is required will not be available in the house. So when one lives as a householder, at least to some extent he should remain as a proper, act like a householder, isn't it? If a householder don't do that, in that house, jeshta will come. Jeshta means that when they churned the milk ocean, before Lakshmi Devi came, jeshta Bhagavati came from there. That means in her presence, everything will be inauspicious. Everything will be inauspicious. So, therefore, at the particular time, what is required will not be available in the house, he says. He had plenty of money. This person had plenty of money. But whatever that is required in the house was not there. He won't buy anything. Empty house. He was so miser that he won't spend any money. So nothing was there. If a visitor comes to offer some nice food to them or flowers or to welcome him properly, you require certain facilities that wasn't there because you wouldn't spend any money. So that is what it means. One who is executing dharmam properly, this is the proof of that. That is why Krishna is saying that they are shunyavastha. Shunyavastha means that one who does not engage in dharmam properly as a householder, he was not there. Those who execute dharmam in their house, things will be there any time when it is needed. When it is needed, it will be there. So here the situation was, in our Brahmana's house, because he was not executing dharmam properly, at his own home, things what was necessary any time was not there. Everything was short supply. Food was not there, clothing was not there properly. Because he was miser to spend on things like that, even essential things, he couldn't keep up with the things, what is required. Because in life, what is the happiness of a householder? Eating on time, properly, proper food, at the right time to have it, and clean clothes to wear, and to bathe nicely, and have a proper bed to sleep. These are all the happiness of the householder life, isn't it? If you are not getting all these things, then you have to think, is it worthwhile this householder life? This is based on dharmam, what is spoken. This is why one goes into householder life, isn't it? You got a proper food in time, proper clothing to wear, and a proper place to sleep, a nice comfortable bed to sleep. And you have proper facilities to bathe and keep yourself fit in life. These are all the minimum things what you expect in a householder life. If that's not happening, that is shunyavastha. And that is what is happening in our Brahmana's case. So here, he says here, because he was like that, but all these things cost money. You have to spend money for all these things, isn't it? But he was not willing to spend money on that. So therefore what happened? But he has got plenty of money, but he won't spend. He won't spend. And on the other hand, he was still working hard to earn more. When all these things were going on, he was still working hard to earn more. So this he says here, Dushilasya kadaryasya druhyande putra bandavaha dara duhidaro bhritya vishanna nacharan priyam. Dushilasya kadaryasya druhyande putra bandavaha dara duhidaro bhritya vishanna nacharan priyam. Dushilasya kadaryasya putra bandavaha duhyande sma. So because he was like this, and he was so miser, his own children will curse him. They knew that he had money, but he won't spend anything. And they were all put into difficulty because he was like that. And all the relatives also. His wife also was very unhappy with the life. Children were very unhappy. And all relatives also, who all knew that they had, he had a lot of money, but he won't share anything with them. And they were also very unhappy. Everybody was unhappy because of his nature. And tada daradayaha api vishanna tasya priyam nacharan. And when you make them all unhappy, what will happen? If you make your wife unhappy, children unhappy, relatives all unhappy, by not giving any kind of good words, help or support, but always you are thinking about your increasing your bank balance and money. What happened was, they also became fed up in life. Who? The children, his own sons and daughters. And even he had servants also, but he will give them only probably the bare minimum and exploit them as well. So all together there was a total state of unhappiness in the whole family together, he says. And then Krishna is saying, tasya evam yaksha vittasyam chudasyo ubhayalo kadaha dharma kama vihinasya chukrudhu panjabhaginaha. That is the way Krishna is saying. He's saying here, yaksha vittasya ubhaya lobadaha chudasya dharma kama vihinasya tasya panjabhaginaha chukrudhu. It was like his money was like yakshavitam, which we spoke before, isn't it? What yakshavitam means? Yakshavitam means that, so, in the last verse he mentioned that his own children and relatives, they used to treat him in a very rude way, but he didn't care. He didn't care. That was his nature. There's some people like that, isn't it? They didn't care. So, you have to remember, children, if the father don't give them anything, where will they go to? What can they get? How will they live in this world? So, if there's no money, that's another thing. But there was plenty of wealth, but he won't give it to them, to the children. Dushilascha kadaryascha, he says like that. So, here, mentions here, that means that he was particularly lubdham, lobham, and totally miser in such a way. Therefore, all the children and relatives were in trouble. And for the same reason, the wife and the children, they won't do anything for him. Because he was like that. Wife is not bothered whether he eats or not. Never prepared food on time and gave him a food. Never cared for his comforts. Children also, in the same way, they didn't care. He doesn't care for us. Why should we care? They also became like that. So, as a householder, he's expecting certain things from all of them, isn't it? From the wife and the children, which wasn't happening in his life. And in that way they lived, he says here. Now, there he says, tasyaivam yaksha vittasyam. Now, yaksha is a bhudam. Bhudam means they don't have a gross body. Yakshas don't have a gross body. So, and one who doesn't have a gross body, he doesn't need any wealth, does he? What will he do with the wealth when you don't have a gross body, isn't it? So, because they don't have a gross body, because with the money, you can only buy gross things. What else can you do with the money? You can buy something gross. You can buy a car. You can buy a house. You can buy food. You can buy clothing. Things like that. You can't do anything else with the money, isn't it? But if you don't have a gross body, what will you do with the gross things? So these yakshas are belonging to that category. They don't have a gross body. Yaksha, yakshis and all. You will see them. They don't have a gross body. But then, but why do they get attached to wealth then? Due to their vasana. When they had a gross body, they had attachment to material wealth. Because they had attachment for wealth, when they see wealth, they are finding it difficult to give it up. Vasana is inside. But they can't use it. But they will hold on to it. It's mine. Hold on to mine. Won't give it to anybody. I can't use it because I don't have a gross body. But still I like to have it. Why? Because of my vasana inside. This is the problem. That is what Krishna is saying that. Dasevam Yakshavitasya. Yakshavitasya means that that he never had any happiness. This Brahmana was like a Yakshavita. What he had with him was like Yakshavitam. Yakshavitam means that you can't use it. You got it with you. But you can't use it. What's the use having it? You can't use it. So therefore, Krishna is saying there, Yakshavitasya Chutasyam Ubhayalokata, he says. Chutasya Ubhayalokata. Ubhayaloka means we have two worlds. One now, this world what we are living. One where we will go after death. Paralogam. This logam and paralogam, after death. So either you should be happy here or you should be happy there. Or you should be happy in both places. That's the best, if you can be happy here and happy there. Krishna is saying here that for him this world doesn't exist, because here there is no happiness for him. Life is misery. Wife, children, nobody showed any feeling towards him. Friends, relations, nothing like that. If he dies and goes away into the next world, it's worse that's waiting there for him, because of the life he had here. So Krishna is saying here that tasevam yakshavitasya chutasyo ubhayalogada. Ubhayaloga means two worlds. This world and the next world doesn't exist for him. As far as he is concerned, whether he lives here or in the next world, both are disaster for him. Both are disaster for him. So here, because he won't spend any money, his life is misery. His life is misery as far as life in this world is concerned. Because he was not taken to spiritual life, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, these three things he did not cultivate in this life, therefore the life after death is also going to be disaster. Do you see that? If you do something, spiritual activities in this world, even if this world may be miserable, but at least life after death there is some hope, something better to happen. But a man who has lived neither material life nor spiritual life here, for that person after death also it's a disaster, and while living here also it's a disaster for him. See, therefore although he has accumulated a lot of wealth, this is what is called Ubhayaloka Bhramsham. Ubhayaloka Bhramsham means Chutasya Ubhayalokata, he says. Dharma Kama Vihinasya. Because of this, he says here, he had neither dharmam nor kamam. If you remember, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Four things are the purushartham, it is called. Out of these four, arthagamam is this world, isn't it? Arthagamam is this world. Moksham is after death. Dharmam is what is the basis of all. Dharmam is the basis of everything. Arthagamam is what you get in this world. Moksham is the life after the death. So in his case, what he has to do, that the wealth what he has accumulated in this one accolades in this world, that he has got to enjoy a part of it himself, especially householder. When you are acquiring wealth, you have a right to enjoy a part of that wealth. That Krishna, Panchabhagina, in five different ways Krishna says it has to be broken down. Whatever money is coming, whatever money you are earning, you have a right to enjoy one-fifth of that. Enjoy one-fifth of that. Chukradu Panchabhagina. Based on the economic conditions then, it may be different today, because today government decides first how much they want to take it out from your wages, isn't it? So it's different. So important here is that he did not follow that dharmam, what was meant to be. In five different ways it has to be spent. So that means he neither had dharmam nor kamam. Artham, kamam was not there, dharmam was not there. So therefore, those who are in charge of all this, there are predominating deities for all that, they all got upset with him. They all got upset with him. So you will see that like this five ways it's divided the wealth. Similarly, the householder, according to the Smriti, we are supposed to perform Panchamaha Yajnam, five different kinds of sacrifices. And that you will see the Bhagavata mentioned in the Sadachara Narnayam, in the seventh canto, when Sri Narada Maharshi talks about Grihastha Dharmam, he will mention there that Grihastha must perform the five kinds of sacrifices. One for the demigods, Deva Yajnam, and then for Pitri Yajnam, for forefathers, and Swadhyayam, for our spiritual education. Then for, that is Hrishi Yajnam, for the satisfaction of the rishis. And then for the Adhidhi Yajnam, for the guests, how they should be looked after. And then the Bhuta Yajnam. Bhuta Yajnam means all other living entities, like the other cows, horses, dogs, cats, and so many other living beings in this world. So all these are called Yajnam. Panchamaha Yajnam it is called. Five different types of Yajnam, what a householder should follow through in his life, in the Grihastha Dharma. So he did not believe in any of these things. He didn't follow any of them. For example, Deva Yajnam means that we have to engage in certain ways to please the demigods. Sacrifices for the demigods. That is Deva Yajnam. Pitri Yajnam is Shraddham and things like that. Shraddha ceremony and things like that. Studying Shastram and accepting the spiritual principles of Shastram is Rishi Yajnam. And then honoring the guests, receiving them and respecting them is Adhidhi Yajnam or Manushya Yajnam. And finally, looking after other living entities and being kind and freedom from violence towards them, that is the Bhuta Yajnam. None of them he followed. He didn't follow any of them. So his attitude was, I worked very hard and I made so much money. And he started saying this. Once it so happened that he mentions there, Tadavadhyana Visrastam Punyaskandasya Bhuridaha Arthopyaganchannidhanam Bahuayasa Parishramaha. That because he has insulted these five deities, they are all predominant deities there. Which one? This Panchamaha Yajnam, Deva Yajnam, Pitri Yajnam, Krishi Yajnam, and Bhuta Yajnam, and also Manushya Yajnam, or what is called Adhidhi Yajnam. These five have got their own predominating deities. Because they were insulted by this Brahmana, in spite of the fact that he had so much wealth, that wealth what he has acquired all got destroyed. That was the reason for him to lose all the wealth, because he didn't follow the dharmam properly. That is what Krishna is going, how the wealth was destroyed. That is what Krishna is going to talk about in the next few verses. So tadavadhyana visrasta punyaskandasya bhuridaha arthopyagachan nidhanam bahuayasa parishramaha. Then bahuayasa parishramaha, that very hard he worked, but it was no use to anybody. This happens in life. If you look at some people, you can see some people have acquired so much wealth and it was of no use to anybody. They left this world, died, left the body and gone. And if you look into that person's life, you start thinking, why was he doing all this? Throughout life, he worked so hard. And has he had a peaceful life? No. He worked so hard to make that money. And did he give that to anyone for any good purpose? No. It was all there in various assets, land, properties, and all sorts of things, investment in all kinds of businesses and everything, shares in a post office or in a, wherever they can put it in. In so many ways they have invested money. But one day something happened, the person has gone from this world. Imagine that life. What happens to that? Isn't it? So what is Krishna is saying to us is this, then arthopyagachan nithanam bahuayasa parishramaha. Why so much parishrama, so much endeavor to make all these things and it could not be utilized for any purpose? That means sometimes you can see people make money but it is never used in the proper way. It goes in the, first of all, to make so much money is wrong for any purpose. It's wrong to do that. But if it has happened due to prarabdham, some money, a lot of money has come in life, then if you do not spend it properly, actually you have created a big problem for yourself then. This is the principle. You can see how people are suffering with too much money, some people. They are suffering. They don't know what to do with it. And then they start a foundation and then they create more trouble in the world with their foundation. You can see so many very wealthy people, they got billions and billions of pounds, and then they, when they get to closer to death, they know they have to go. What do? They start a new foundation, and then they start that, or let's start some cancer research and AIDS research, and there is so many series of diseases also for which research is required. So they'll start their foundation for this research, that research, so many things. Or send money for humanitarian purposes, but it also ends up in the wrong hands, goes in the wrong way. And you can see that all the money is squandered and plundered and it's all gone in the wrong way, never for the right purpose. So Krishna is telling us that initially principle itself is not to go after it as a goal of life, but if it has happened in life due to prarabdham, it has come, sometimes it happens. People's life, somehow money comes. If it happens, if it is not handled properly, that also could cause problems. Krishna is warning us there. Arthopyagachan nidhanam bahuayasa parishramaha. He says like that. So, after saying that, he says that the Brahma yadayo jagrahu kinjil kinjidasyava uddhava daivada kalada kinjil brahma bandhor nrupartivad. How the wealth was gone. How the wealth was gone. Krishna says here, brahma bandhu. He was called as brahma bandhu. Brahma bandhu means only by relationship he is a brahmana. He was born in the brahmana family. Similarly, we also say Kshatrabandhu. In the Bhagavadam, you will see that word. Brahmabandhu, Kshatrabandhu. He doesn't have Kshatriya qualities, what Krishna says. But through bodily relationship, he happened to be a Kshatriya. Similarly, this person doesn't have any Brahmanical qualities. But it so happened that he was born in a Brahmana family. It's a relationship with through body. That's all it is. He doesn't have any Brahmana dharmam, in other words. But suppose if another Brahmana comes and takes food in his house, he will still be accepted as a Brahmana. Generally, that is the principle, whether he accepts food from his house or not. So if another Brahmana goes to his house and accepts food from there, that person will not be rejected. Because he is a Brahma Bandhu still. Brahma Bandhu still. You can look at this man's life, this Brahmana's life. He doesn't have any sinful life. That is also interesting. He doesn't live sinful. For example, he doesn't have any kind of bad habits as such. Like meat eating or intoxication or gambling or illicit sex or things like that. He was not gross in that way. He had that Brahminical nature in him. But only problem he had was this money business. He couldn't stay out of it. That greed was so strong in him. That was his main problem. So what has happened to him was Because he is born in that Brahmana family, he is a Brahmabandhu. He was a Brahmabandhu. And therefore, what happened was, because he was not giving and sharing with anybody, the money was taken away from him. Money was taken away from him. How was it taken away? The saints here. That some people, sa evam dravine nishta devada kalada kinchil brahmabandhor nirpaarthivad, that it so happened that his house caught on fire. House caught on fire. And due to the circumstances, he upset the king, local king, whoever was ruling then. And the king has extracted a lot of taxes from him. He said, you give me more, you're not paid my taxes. Like HMRC, I would say, another way. So, and others also started demanding from him wealth. Isn't it? So lot of it was stolen. Lot of it was, because he was not willing, so lot of it was stolen, and lot of it was dacoits, like people have taken out of him. And by the arrangement, what we say, Adidevam, which is comes in this form, it has taken a lot of wealth due to time. So the king, in different ways, house got fire and he lost a lot of wealth. So, and added to that, what else has happened to him was that finally the most difficult thing has happened. Old age has come. Old age means what? He has acquired a lot of wealth through his early life, but all that is destroyed. All that wealth was gone. And did he enjoy any of that wealth? No. All the wealth was gone. Not only that, a stage has come now, he was in serious poverty. And he acknowledges, now I can't earn anymore anything because I've become old. See the situation? He has become old, he can't earn anything. He's too old now. All what he has worked hard and earned during his youth, that's been taken away. And he has not enjoyed himself, that wealth what he had. This is his situation now. Imagine that yourself, how you feel. You have worked whole life, earned a lot of wealth. In order to earn the wealth, you have made a lot of sacrifice. You didn't enjoy your own life because you were working hard to earn. So you couldn't enjoy your life. And all the wealth you have earned was lost in this process. And the old age has come, you can't earn anymore. You have no money left to live in this world. Sa evam dravine nashte dharma kama vivarjidaha ubeshidascha sajane chindama padurathayam. When all the wealth was gone and all relations said goodbye, they all left because you have no money anymore. They were all coming and visiting him because he had a lot of wealth. That's why they were coming in the first instance. But that time he thought that if I speak to them nicely, they may ask for something, which they will. And he didn't want any interaction with them. No transaction, no vyavaharam with the relations and friends. He kept out of them. And now everything has gone. So what did they say? They said, he doesn't have any money. Why should we go visiting him? This is the relationship in this world. So they also gave up on him. They also would not come and visit him. So when they were not coming and he had no money with them, he started thinking, why this has happened like this, isn't it? Because it says here, Krishna is saying here, ubekshidascha sojane chindamava duratyayam. Chindamava duratyayam. Chindamava duratyayam means that endlessly he became very, very thoughtful. That's the time when you become thoughtful, isn't it? Up to that time you are busy with the world. But when things happen, then you will think about it. Otherwise you won't think. This is the right candidate to be preached to. That's when it will work. Otherwise, it will all remain purely on the intellectual level. So here, what he said was that nashta, says here, tasevam dhyayedo dirgham nashtaraya tapasvinaha khidyado bashpakandasya nirvedam sumahanabhod. Some evam nashtaraya dirgham dhyayedaha. When all the wealth was gone, he became very thoughtful, this person. Became very thoughtful, and his heart was in a serious distress, and he started crying. Khidyado bashpagandasya, and nirvedam sumahanabhud. He says, nirvedam happened. Nirvedam means vairagyam. Vairagyam happened. When all the wealth what he has earned, which he has not utilized himself, because he was busy making the money. Now the old age has come. He didn't enjoy the wealth. He didn't give the wealth to anybody. All the wealth was now gone. He can't earn any more anything in life. In that situation, he realized the whole life was a waste. Waste of time. It has happened to him. That's what up to this point Krishna has to say to us. Krishna is saying that in order to understand that what happened to that person that time, look at how spiritual life happens in life. Nirvedam sumahanabhud. Nirvedam happens to him. Means vairagyam came to him. He started thinking, why did this happen to me? If you read Prabhupada's biography, you will see the same thing. What has happened? So much wealth, Prabhupada said that I was desiring to have, working very hard, lot of opportunities to make money. Krishna took away everything one day. Krishna took away everything. With that, once the wealth is gone, family life is over. There's no more family life after that. Everybody will go their way. Children will go their way, wife will go their way, and you will be left alone. Nobody will bother you anymore after that. So that's what has happened. Nirvedo sumahanabhud. You can see how distress helps in spiritual life. If there is no distress, otherwise it's all theoretical. What we talk about spiritual life is all theoretical. Nothing is in reality, it doesn't turn into realizations. So, nirvedam sumahanabhud. It is at that time, you can see here, that the realization what she had, what our Bichu had, which will continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha gavagni nirvavanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam budhipada purnamrita swadanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayave shri krishna sangirtanam Nanamagari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrapida Mimida Smarane Nagara Eda Drashita Vakrapa Bhagavan Namavi Durdeva Vidrishamiha Janiman Vadaha Tranara Vishinchena Tarora Visahishmina Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahri Nathanam Janam Nasundarim Avidamba Jagadisha Kamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadar Bhakti Rahe Dugitvai Ai Nandada Nyuja Kingadam Patitamam Shami Bhavambudo Krabaya Dava Pada Pankajasti Dagoli Sadrasham Jindaya Ai Nangalada Shudharaya Padanandam Gadaradhaya Gira Pulagayar Nijinam Tadavaku Tavannama Grahane Bhavishyadi Yukayidam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pavishayidam Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Vrahename Shrishya Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karotuva Yathathadava Vidadagulam Maro Matranamatha Stunayevana Para.
So, Tasyevam Dhyayado Dirgham Nashtaraya tapasvinaha khidyado bashpagandasya nirvedam sumahanabhud. Nirvedam Sumahana Bhut. Krishna says there that Nirvedam has happened. Nirvedam means Vairagyam. Nirvedam means Vairagyam had happened to him. So, mentions like this that why this situation has happened to me. So, here you can see while earning money, he had to do a lot of wrong things, isn't it? Adharma. Acquiring so much wealth that not only that he did not utilize the money for his life in this world, but tana, dharma, what he should have performed, he should not perform. His dharma. At the same time, while earning that wealth, he has done certain things which are not based on dharma. That's another important point. Because he knew very well that they had done such adharma, irreligious activities, while earning that wealth, he knew that after leaving the body, he has to experience some hellish experiences from that. It will happen. That he was conscious of that. So, even when one who has acquired wealth in this world, if he does not follow dharmam, artham kamam, dharmartha kamam, one person who does not follow that, for him also, he is going to have a difficult time later, afterwards, in the life. So, unfortunately, this thought didn't come to him at the time when he was earning wealth. That is why, Nirvedam Sumahana Bhut, it says. Nirvedam, when Vairagyam come to him, only then he started thinking about it in that way. Nirvedam Sumahana Bhut. Sumahana Bhut means due to Krishna's grace, it happened to him. That Nirvedam. In the Bhagavadam, in the 24 spiritual masters, you will see the same thing spoken about Pingala. If you look, you will see there. Pingala says there, that Tahyangajada Nurvedo in the 8th chapter, 11:8-29. Tahyangajada Nurvedo Deha Bandam Jihasati Yadha Vidyani Rehido Manijo Mamadam Nrupa. Then, when Pingala's case, same thing happened. That when Dattatreya Maharshi says, I learned this from Pingala. Dattatreya Maharshi says, I learned this from Pingala. What was that? Pingala suddenly became Nirvedam, happened to her. Detachment came in this world. She had a lot of wealth. She was not poor. Huh? She had a lot of wealth. But that particular day when she met Dattatreya Maharshi, due to Dattatreya Maharshi's karunyam or kripa or mercy, Pingala realized that what is the point in living like this? That she was making a lot of money by entertaining customers and she lived a very nice life. She had plenty of wealth as well. But tahyangajada nurvedo, then deha bandam jihasadi yadha vidyana rahido manijo madam nrupa. That Parikshit, Shobramarshi says to Parikshit that, or here in this case, between Dattatreya and Yadu, Dattatreya says to Yadu that one who has no knowledge and when he does not give up this attachment to this world and if he does not have renunciation, detachment inside, he will never think about leaving his connection with the body, This is why Krishna is saying that before you give up your attachment to the body, you have to give up attachment to those objects which is giving happiness to this body, like the material wealth. Because material opulences gives happiness to the body, we have to give up the attachment to the material wealth first before giving up attachment to the material body itself. And as long as we are attached to the material opulences, our attachment to the material body will remain. It won't go. That is what the point is making here. Dattatreya Maharshi says to Yadu this. Na hyangajada nurvedo dehabandham jihasati yadha vijnana rahido manijo mamatam nrupa. Me and mine means material attachment, isn't it? So, she says here that a person who doesn't have this knowledge, he will find it very difficult to give up this me and mine, aham mama, aham mameti, because vairagyam is the prerequisite for this, and he will not give up his bodily attachment, deha dhyasam. Deha dhyasam means bodily attachment. He will not give it up as long as he has attachment to material opulences, material opulences. So we don't, he says we don't have to discuss about that because it's like that. So Pingala's song is like this. There also you can see Nahyanga Jada Nurvedo. Nurvedam has happened to Pingala also. So in this way, Krishna says here to Uddhava also that this has happened to Pingala, this has happened now to this Brahmana also. So he says that Nashaheham Sachahe Damaho Kashtam Vrudhalma me anudabidaha na dharmaya na kamaya yasyarthaya samidrishah. Then he says Nahyarthamaho Arthedamaho Kashtam. I have abused my body a lot to make this wealth. A lot of austerities he must have performed, isn't it? That not eating properly, not living properly, and trying to cut short everything and to save the money. So he says here, I have given a lot of pain to my own body, and I worked very hard till middle of the night, doing different kinds of jobs, without caring for the weather, sun or rain. And I have acquired like this, and a lot of wealth I have created like this. But what is the use? And there is only two things what you get from the wealth. Either dharmam or kama. You can use the money for dharmam, for religious purposes, religiosity, or for your satisfying your desires, economic development, isn't it? These two things didn't happen in my life, says Bhikshu. A Brahmana says like this, it's because I don't think, he says, there are many other people who have worked like me to make money. Bhikshu is saying, everybody is not like that in this world, isn't it? A few people always like that. So, and because I worked so hard, unlike others, I have made so much money. And I've got so much wealth which others don't have, says Bhikshu. But what is the use, he says here. And in this world and in the next world, my future doesn't look very, very good. Doesn't look very bright. Here, what I have got is only distress at the end. This should not happen. He's saying, he's lamenting now about it. So, prayenartha kadaryanam na sukhaya kadachana iha jalmobadabhaya mrdasya narakaya cha. He says, miserly people, their wealth will never become, give any happiness to them. Will never give any happiness to them. Because in this world, it creates distress for them. After death, they have to face the consequences for being living like that. And although they had the wealth, they are saying here that that he is certain that his future is not very good. Although he had the wealth, he feels that his future doesn't look good as far as the life is concerned. So such people, the chances that they will be happy in this life is very little, because always they were very miser about that. And in this world, they couldn't spend any money. And when they spend the money, they'll think, oh, our money will run out, so they won't spend any money. And they can't enjoy anything in this world because they have done a lot of wrong things to acquire that wealth, adharmam. And after death also, the life is not going to be very interesting, isn't it? That is why Krishna mentions there, ubhaya loga is mentioned Ubhayaloga, Chudasyo Ubhayalogada. Ubhayaloga. Ubhayaloga means life here and the life after death. So ultimately it's all distress here, and after death also it's going to be distress.
Yesho Yashasinam Shuddham Shlakhya Ye Guninam Gunaha Lobaha Sulpobidan Handi Shvitro Rupamiveb Sidam.
He says here that he says Yesho Yashasvinam Shuddham Shlakhya Ye Guninam Gunam. There is a disease like leprosy, which sometimes very good looking people, but sometimes their face or in the body a change of color of the skin, and they look very ugly then. Otherwise they look very good, but due to this leprosy, the leprosy has affected their skin and then they look awful then. Similarly, Krishna is saying here that those who have got a good name and those who have got a good reputation and their qualities, everything, it will be destroyed when this greed takes away in their life. So yesho yashasinam shuddham shlakhyaye guninam guna lobham sulpobidan handi shvitro rubam vivepsidam, he says. So just like that, leprosy is a bad mark on their body. Similarly, if a person is very greedy, then it is like that white leprosy on that person. It is a bad name for that person. And for those people who have got good qualifications, they have, what is the use, says this Brahmana, if he is very greedy, because he hasn't made any sacrifice in life. And he won't spend the money for the purpose for which it has to be spent. And his lobham, lobham means that greed, that itself is color all his fame, all his fame, and he cannot enjoy anything in this world. Then Krishna says, Arthasya, 17th verse, Arthasya sadhane siddha ulkarshe rakshane vyaye nashobha bhogamayasa trasachinda brahmo nranam. Where all the problem is while making money, where the problems comes, he says, Arthasya sadhani siddha ulkarshe rakshane vyaye nashobham bhogam ayasam trasas chindo brahmo nranam. He says, Arthasya sadhani siddha. While earning money, it's a struggle. While earning, it's a struggle. Then after you have earned that, it's a struggle. How to protect that, isn't it? It's a struggle. How to look after that money? How to keep it, whether it is in rate with the inflation, it is growing or not, you're concerned. Because government and other forces in the world, they create situation that the monetary value goes down. So exchange rates goes down, monetary value goes down. So many things happened. So after you have earned the money, to hold on to that is also very, very, very difficult, isn't it? And then you've got problem about spending it. When to spend it properly, where to spend it properly. Again, you become concerned about that. Then you have the fear that you will make relationship with the wealth in such a way, because you know that it will go one day. If whichever way you have your connection with the wealth, while acquiring wealth, problem. Acquiring wealth, you have to struggle. Then to protect the wealth, it's a struggle. While spending it, it's a struggle. Then whether it will all lose its value and go away one day, that fear also creates by the wealth. It's created by the wealth. That means to earning wealth, increasing that wealth, to keep that wealth in line with the inflation, to keep it going, or if not more, not less, but always more or in line with the inflation. And that means protecting that. And somehow or other, if you got it while spending it and using it, always concerned about all this, should I buy it or not? Should I have it or not? Always you have to make so much mind, you have to involve in that, isn't it? And the fear about that, and if it gets destroyed, what happens? You get in terrible anxiety as well. So none of them, Krishna is saying, will give you any happiness in life. We look at it from this angle. Arthasya sadhane siddha ulkarshe rakshane vyaye nashobha bhogam ayasa strasas chinda brahma mrana. Whichever way you look at it, it is always distress. Krishna is saying to us that ulkarshe rakshane vyaye, how to increase. Once you've got a lot of money, then you're always thinking how to make it big, isn't it? People always say like that. They have a lot of money, they say, money makes money, they say. If you don't have any money, you don't have to worry about anything. But when you have money, it's such a madness that once it gets in, then it's always thinking how to multiply it. And because falsely we are feeling some security in all these things, that's where this difficulty is coming from. That money is in the bank or it is in some investment, something. And so everything should be okay. Not Krishna's security feeling from the wealth. So, ulkarshe rakshane vyaye. Similarly, same thing while spending, he says here. None of them is helpful. So, why Krishna says that is, a person who has a lot of wealth, he is better not to earn a lot, he says, because once you've got that greed, he will have a lot of wealth as well. Such a person, he does not know how to spend the money. How to spend the money. So for him, he has no experience of that wealth either here or in the next life. Whereas, person who is always in short supply of money, poor, such a person, he hasn't acquired a lot of wealth, but he knows very well when he puts effort into acquiring wealth that he always has the feeling, will it become successful? Will I make money one day? Such a person, he will at least approach Krishna saying that let my effort be successful in making money. And at least he will approach Krishna in that way. Whereas a wealthier person, very wealthy, for him it's an enjoyment what he gets from it. He has already got a lot of money, but still he wants to make more. There it's a different thing than a poor man working for money. A poor man is working for money because he doesn't have enough to live on and he's putting his effort in some direction, either in work or business or whatever. And he will pray to Krishna, at least let me make some money. Please help me to make some money. Let this effort be successful. It is those people Krishna mentions at Artha in the Bhagavad Gita. Artho Jinyaso Arthati Jnani, the four kinds. Artha is that category he is referring to. Not to the very wealthy one. Very wealthy people, they are also busy still making more, isn't it? Because they enjoy doing that, making more money. And they won't approach Krishna. And if we approach also, Krishna is not going to care about it. But that is the way it is. Therefore what Krishna is saying is that those who acquire wealth, who already have wealth, and they are trying to acquire more due to their greed, those people, Krishna says there, for them, in their process of acquiring more wealth, they will engage in sinful things. They will engage in sinful way, all kinds of shoddy dealings and different ways, you know, how you can make money in this. They will engage in all that. So the result is that, because of that effort, they will suffer due to that later. In their life, now or later, it can happen to them. So they will say like this, these rich people will say that, or even in the poor person, if you ask him why you are working so hard, he will say like this, is Krishna going to come and deliver me the cash if I don't work? They will ask in that way also, isn't it? So, rich person approaching Krishna is very rare. So he will always say like that, let me make a little bit more, then I will do something about it. And he also doesn't have the faith in anything. Instead, he says here that on the person who is always in poverty, who is always in difficulty, such a person, then at least for the sake of alleviating that poverty, he will approach Krishna. He will approach Krishna. So, after saying all, Krishna is analyzing people's nature in this world. After saying all these things, Krishna is saying, if you make money, 15 kinds of problems will come. 15, he categorizes them. 15 types, he says. That is that 18th verse. If you look there, what Krishna says there. Steyam, himsa, anradam, dambham, kamam, krotham, smayam, madam, bedo, vairam, avishwasam, samspardha, vyasananicha, edi, panjadasha, anartho, arthamula, madanranam, tasmad, anartham, arthakhyam, shreyo, arthi, duradastyajet. That is the 15 things Krishna says will happen from money. Steyam, himsa, anradam, dambham, kamam, krodham, smayam, madam. Madam. Vedam, vairam, avishwasam, spardha, spardha, avyavasanicha. Ede, panchadashanartha, arthamula, matamranam. Here, if you count them, you will see steyam means stealing. For sake of money, people will steal. Himsa, you know what himsa means. Violence. Kalava. Kalava means, or what is amrdam? Amrdam means telling lies. Only is a part of that. Dambham, it creates pride inside. Kamam. Desires. Krodham, when the desire is not fulfilled, anger. Ahangaram, smayam means ahangaram, false ego. Madam, kind of same thing, madam, I am somebody, that feeling. Bhedam, bhedam means start looking at people and saying, oh, he is rich, he is poor. He is not earning as much as the other person. Like this, comparing people. Beda buddhi develops in this way. Among people, you start looking at them and start judging them based on how much they earn. Beda buddhi. It's all coming from the money, wealth. Vairam, enmity. Avishwasam, never trust anybody. When you have a lot of money, you don't trust anyone. Then avishwasam. Then spardha. Spardha means a mutual competition nature. Competing with other. I got so much, he has got so much, I got more than him. People do that all the time, isn't it? Spardha. Then, Vyasananicha. Vyasananicha means he has included in that few things. The four sinful activities what we talk about. Regulative principles. Women, gambling, and alcohol, all these things. This is all Vyasananicha. So these 15 things Krishna is saying is due to the wealth. Is due to wealth. So, tasmad shrayorthi arthakhyam anartham durata. Therefore, one who wants that advancement in spiritual path, spiritual life, this artham, which is wealth, which is in reality is anartham, should be thrown away. Should be thrown away. That is what Krishna has to say there. So here, you will see here, these 15 things, knowingly and unknowingly, while acquiring wealth, this will happen. Which one? This first one, steyam. It's very common, it's unavoidable it is. Even when you are employed or when you are doing business, our crooked mind will always operate in that way, to make money. And in business it happens, in employment also it can happen depending on what kind of employment one is in. So, he says here that knowingly or unknowingly this will happen in earning money. In earning money this will happen. And these 15 anartham, which is Krishna calls it as anartham, this will keep increasing when one is engaged in this. When one is engaged in this. Steyam means to steal, to steal. And that means what is meant for something, somebody else, not giving it to him, but rather stealing that. It always happens in all companies, businesses. Regularly it happens. You can't do anything about it unless you have the proper understanding of the Krishna consciousness. You can suffer a lot while working because of this. There it's all planned in such a way among the bosses, managers, company management. They all have very experts at that, and they have got people, tax advisors for that. How to steal what is meant to be given to the government, they will teach you how not to give it. And that's why all the discussion going on, isn't it, in this world, which you carefully look at it, things you can see that the how to avoid the taxes, what's meant to be given to the government. And the government has to chase them. But these people have got such experts to advise them, because they hire the people from the government itself who have written the law in the government for the tax evasion. Like this, if you look at the whole business scenario, industry, this is what's going on. There is no question about that. So wherever you are caught up in that, you will see this happening there as well. That people, and if you look into the hierarchy, in the business hierarchy, you will see the big managers, big presidents, they stealing there what they can steal from the system. And then lower level, middle managers and the junior managers, they will also try to siphon off what they can. And they will give you the, what do they call, the crumbs to the employees. You can have this and be satisfied. You must declare 5% bonus to you for this year's performance. Right from the bottom, right up to the top, it is stealing. Stealing from the customer, whatever business they are in. And after stealing, then sharing it. This is modern business. How to steal from the customer or the customers who are buying. This is modern industry. Prabhupada used to criticize this. He said, he told all the time, never getting involved in this modern business, he said. Because it will destroy your Krishna consciousness. After coming to Krishna consciousness to realize the self, then to go and get involved in all these things, how it can destroy your own spiritual life, you can see. That is why no acharyas, Krishna, or even the Vedic philosophy itself totally disagrees with the modern way of life. With the modern way of life. So you have to remember that already Krishna has put us in a very awkward situation. It's not favorable at all for spiritual life. And right there again, we have got all the other problems with it, our own problems, apart from what the society is throwing at us. So, Krishna is saying here that if these 15 things are all the after effects of acquiring wealth, because they create, wealth create all this inside us. So, these things, Krishna says, himsa, anardam. Anartha means lying, total lying. You will see, if you have worked in industry, you will know this is happening all over. No one is exceptional to this. Nobody is exceptional to this. You just have to keep your eyes and ears open. You will see what goes on everywhere in the name of industry. But we respect all these people. They think that they are the ones to be adored because they have made so much money in life in this way. This is their success in life, so-called success anyway. So Krishna says here, vidyate steyam himsa anardam dambham kamam krotham smayo madaha bhedam vairam avishwasam samspardhavya vasananicha. Then you can see, notice also this, these among them also, these problems exist, which are bheda buddhi. They can't see anyone equal level. Why? Because they have always judged people based on money. If you look at people only in terms of money, you will only see this. Veda buddhi will develop inside. Veda buddhi will develop. That is the biggest problem. Vairam, enmity each other because of money. If you have a lot of money, somebody else is envious of you. Either way it can happen. Avishwasam, don't trust each other. some spardha. Spardha means that mutual competition, always. Mutually they feel that spardha, avyasananicha, and all the other distress that comes in life from the ede panchadashanartha arthamula matandranam, he says here. So, krodham, madam, smayam, vedam is vityastha buddhi. Vityastha buddhi means that while dealing with people, you favor someone because he is rich and you not for show any liking for somebody because he is poor. This Veda Buddhi develops in life, which is the dangerous thing Krishna says here. And finally he says here that these 15 things will be there in a person in a natural way. In a natural way it will exist. So, because these 15 things are dependent on money. These 15 things are dependent on money. Krishna says like that. So, and this person also, our Avanti Brahmana, he has made a lot of money. He has made a lot of money and all that money has gone now. All that money has gone. Not only that, he did not enjoy it himself. Plus, old age has come. Old age has come. And now he will die soon and he will take birth in another body. He will take birth in another body. In order that these 15 things what he has, through which he has acquired wealth, and the result of all that, in order to experience that, Krishna says. So, with which body he has earned this wealth? He has earned all this wealth through one body, isn't it? And he will leave that body. And he will leave that wealth as well. And then he will go into another body to experience the result of all his actions, what he has done in this body. That's what's going to happen. What's what he's saying? The old man is saying, on the Brahmana is saying, I become old now. And with this body I have earned all this wealth, with this body. And I did not enjoy anything here, with this wealth what I have earned. Now I'm going to leave this body also, I'm going to leave this wealth also what I have earned in the wrong way. Then I will go into another body and in that body I will suffer a lot because I have done all this karma in this body with this wealth. I have done all these things. So he says here that therefore that this wealth what I have acquired is by wrong means and it is going to cause a lot of problem for me. So, whether one has wealth or one doesn't have wealth, money is only anartham. Therefore, one who wants to have shreyasa means ultimate benefit, or he wants to have a good final result, such a person should reject wealth, says Brahmana. This Brahmana is saying, after acquiring all this wealth, he is saying like this, that he says, Vidyade bradarodara pidara suhradastathaha eka snigdha kagininya sadhya sarveraya kridaha. You see that? Eka vidyande bradarodara pidara suhradastatha eka snigdha kagininya sadhya sarveraya kridaha. Then he says here that you don't need a lot of wealth. A small amount of wealth is sufficient to create enmity between brothers and between parents and the children. Between parents and the children and between friends. You don't require a lot of money. Krishna says, Eka snigdha kagininya. Kagini means a small amount, a small coin. That's enough, he says. Eka snigdha kagininya. Sadhya sarvo sarveraya kridaha. Even that can create that enmity between the members of the family. He says, originally they could all live in one house. They could all live in one house. As soon as the wealth has come, they can't live in one house anymore. Relationship is broken. Children are saying, oh, we all need our own apartments, our own houses. They go away. And uncles, aunts, granddads, they all separate. Isn't it? Where did the separation happen? Because of wealth.
Because of wealth it has happened. So Krishna is saying here, Vidhyande Bradaro Dharaha. Vidhyande means it breaks up all the relationship between brothers. One time all brothers could stay together, they can't anymore. Why? Because of money. Dara Pitara Sukhrdastadaha. It says among the brothers and between, as soon as you get married, wife says, let's go, we find our own place, and you can't stay with the parents anymore. Parents are separated. Similarly with the brothers also, they all become your enemies. They all become enemies. Although externally you may say, act as though to keep the friendship, inside it's gone. Feelings have gone, relationship has gone inside. But externally you will still try to keep a relationship. Because if there is, you don't want to show to the world that you have broken up, but inside the connection is broken because of the money. Because of the money. Arthenalpiyaso sahede samraddha deeptamanyavaha tejanyashustuto gnandi sahasol srijasauhradam. That this, because of this little thing called wealth, they get upset and anger turns into spardha, into enmity each other, and once for all friendship is over. Friendship is over, and they each other, sometimes it can turn into violence also. It can turn into violence also. Krishna says here that this relationship between father, mother, relations, they are originally, they were able to live together. Once and then, but it will all be broken because of money. Similarly, they can't live anymore together because they will not agree each other anymore after the wealth has come. They can't agree anymore on anything. And because they can even break their relationship with the parents. Break their relationship with the parents. And what to talk about the friends. Friends, better not to talk about it. So even very close relationships can break up because of this money. Because of this money. And with among them, their permanent enmity takes place. Instead of that friendship they had before, will be completely replaced by enmity. Completely replaced by enmity. And if this can happen, and such a person, after he has gone done all these things, what will be the result of all these things is that all he's accumulated is lot of his sinful reactions. So, but on the other hand, without any greed, if that person is making sacrifices, following dharmam in that place, or satisfying his desires also, kama, if it is like that, this may not happen to him. And only a few people will be able to do that. Krishna saying that. Saying only a few people can do that. Then if you look into the verse 21, he says, Arthena alpiyaso hede samrabdha deeptamanyavaha tejan dyashus pradoghanandi sahasol srijya ulsrijya saukhradam. Very close friends, demigods, rishis, forefathers and other living entities, all of them are, they have got the right for the wealth, what we have earned, isn't it? So that is why this Panchamahayajnam, the five kinds of sacrifices spoken. Normally we say that that is five friends and five enemies for the wealth. Five friends and five enemies for the wealth. Enemies are fire, water, time, thieves, the king and your other enemies in this world who will steal from you. They are all enemies. That, and the friends are, one is yourself, that is you are meant to enjoy that, and your wife and children, and charitable activities, and pious and charitable activities, ishtabhortam or dana dharmam they call it, and then for Ishvara Puja, for Krishna service. So money what is received, according to the time in that system, 1/5 of that one should utilize for one's own, and 1/5 for the relations for their maintenance, 1/5 for the charity, 1/5 for worshipping Krishna service, and 1/5 one should keep it for difficult times. This is the system that Shastram talks about. Of course, in the modern economy and economy you can't relate exactly in the same way because of the the way the economy is, the livelihood has changed, the way we make living itself is the wrong thing. So if it is done like that, you have to remember this is a society very much based on the Vedic principles. They followed Varnashrama Dharma, which doesn't exist anymore. So in the Varnashrama system, they believed in this. Chukradu Panchavagina, they divide into 5 and this 5 is allocated in this way. If it is done like that, Krishna says, that wealth will remain. That 1/5 what you have kept for your emergency will stay and it will come useful. It will come useful. And it will also give you happiness in life here, and also you will not be distressed about it. If you did not do that, then these 5 kinds of enemies will come and take control of it. They will get upset with you. So you will lose all the wealth and it will go away. And exactly that is what has happened to our Brahmana. And his intelligence turned into this direction after all this has happened, after all the money was gone. It is only after that he started recognizing these things. Before that he didn't think about it. This is the mistake he has done. Krishna is saying that he didn't never bother to think about all these things. But when all these things happened, he is reflecting on that and admitting that this is what has happened. This is what has happened to him. So you can see here, so arthasakti means attachment to the wealth. When it is very excessively strong like that, there will be anartham here in this world as well as in the next world. Ledhva janma amaraprathyam manushyam tadvijagradam tadanadruteye swartham ghanandi yandi ashubham gadim. Then he got a human body. Oh, this Brahmana, he has got a human body. And even in that human body, he has got a Brahmana's body. Brahmana's body. But he didn't care. Instead, that he did not try for self-realization. So therefore, his destination doesn't look very good. And Surgabhavargayor dvaram prapim logamimam puman drivine gonushajeda marthyo anarthasya dhamani. Marthyo anarthasya dhamani. He says there that this human form of body which has been given to us by higher arrangement, which is meant for, it is the only body if you, the gate is open for entering to the higher world, into the higher world. Surgam abavargam dwaram, he says. Surga abavargayor dwaram. If you go through Devayanam, you can go into the higher planets from him. That means from Karma Mandalam you can escape and enter into the Jnana Mandalam. Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tabolagam, Satyalogam. If you cultivate Jnanam, Vairagyam, you can go into the higher planets. If not, Apavargayor Dwaram, or you can get liberated here. Through Bhakti, you can get liberated here. And both these things are opportunities in this body, human body. But instead, he is subjected to death here, and such a person, why should he get attracted to the wealth? He says, Drivine konushajeva marthyo anarthasya dhamani. Why get attached to wealth and create all the anartham? Devarship pidrabhudani jnanin bandhumscha bhagina asamim bhajya jalpmanam yakshavitta padatyathaha. He says, Deva, Rishi, Pitadevadas, Buddhas, Sambandhi and Bandhus, relations, without giving them their share, one who is simply accumulating for himself, he will fall. He will eventually fall himself. Vyarthamayartehayavittam pramattasyavayo balam kushalayena siddhyandi jaradha kinnu sadhayem. That due to this excessive attachment to the wealth, one who has fallen to that illusion, his wealth, his lifespan, his strength, everything is wasted at the end. Yena kushala siddhyandi And Viveki, that means one who has got proper discrimination, he gets released due to that wealth itself. Jarada kinnu sathaye. And old man is saying that I have become too old, what can I do now? That is his lamentation. The old man is lamenting, time is over now, I can't, even if I want to make more money now, I can't do it. All the money has gone. All the money has gone. I didn't live a proper life. I didn't even enjoy this life here. And to make this money, I have engaged in various sinful things. Cheating, lying, all sorts of things. So that means all that vasanas are inside him. And now I leave this world, what's waiting for me is also not good. So this is the result of all the wealth what has been acquired, accumulated in that way. That's what he is saying here. And then he says, see that vairagyam, how it helped him. That's the next verse. This vairagyam that came to him after seeing the futility of everything, he's acknowledging that and he's saying here, Maya is too powerful. I got trapped by Maya. Kasmat samplishyade vidvan vartayo artehaya asakrat kasijin mayaya nunam logoyam suvimohidaha. Kasmaschin mayaya nunam. Maya is capable of doing these things, says Brahmana. Kasmyachil mayaya nunam logoyam suvimohidaha. This world, he is looking around in the world and he is seeing the same thing everywhere. He is saying definitely this world is under the spell of Maya. There is no question about that, he says. Because he says, knowing very well that Artham is going to create this Anartham, this inauspicious things is going to happen in life, still why the world is running after this wealth, struggling so much to acquire this wealth, says Brahmana. Brahmana says this. And he says here that I am loka kasyajit mayaya nunam suvimohidaha. This world, he says, achindya shakti sambannaha. He says, because of its power, of the power of this maya, the world is definitely under strong illusion, says Brahmana. All these good thoughts came to him. How? Because of that vairagyam that has developed inside. How that vairagyam took control of his life, isn't it? That is what he says like that. So here, he mentions there that when he realized that he can't make money anymore because he was too old, there's no energy left in the body, body can't do anymore. So he says there, even if one has a little bit of intelligence, Brahmana says, at that point, if he has the intelligence, or one who has analyzed life from the spiritual aspect of it, he will not go in this direction, says the Brahmana. Brahmana says, if he has a little bit of education, and little bit he has become thoughtful about spiritual side of life, and has taken to it properly, then he will not go in that direction. Because he says here, Krishna's Maya, powerful Maya, that nobody can fight against that. Nobody can fight against that, isn't it? And whole world is misguided by that Maya, he says. Whole world is misguided. Because of this attachment to that wealth, and little bit who has this understanding, spiritual understanding in life, they will give importance to their dharma more than anything else first. And then they will engage in the service to, sacrifice to Krishna, to please Krishna, Ishvara Upasana, Dharma Acharanam and Ishvara Upasana, two things. One side, they live their life based on dharma, and another thing, they will engage in the service, Krishna's service, and they will not make themselves victimized by this greed. Victimized by this greed, says the Brahmana. And then he mentions here that this situation I have now landed. I have landed in this situation now. What we have spoken so far. Why? Because of this, that I didn't care. I didn't care for dharma. I didn't care for Ishvara Vasana. I was not interested in
As a Brahmana, he was meant to engage in spiritual activity, which he didn't do. As a Brahmana, he was meant to live a life of austerity and penances. Instead, he took the profession of a Vaishya, and acquiring wealth became his. So both ways, he has not acted properly. From the Varnashrama point of view, he has completely broken the law. He is admitting that, I've broken the law. As a Brahmana, I was supposed to live a life of austerity, total austerity and full of knowledge and austere life. I didn't do that. Secondly, not only that, I was supposed to cultivate knowledge and I was supposed to engage in Krishna service, Ishvara Seva. I never did that either. Both ways I have failed, and instead I have worked very hard to acquire wealth, and in that process I have done a lot of sinful activities, exploiting others, sucking others' wealth. So many ways I have done so many things, and now what is waiting for me after death is also not very auspicious, says the Brahmana here. He says here that
kim dhanir dhanar deva kim kamairva kamadeiruda mrtyuna agrasya manasya karma virvoda janmadei.
When that is Brahmanical intelligence, is this: when death is ready to swallow you, that any moment you could be taken out from here and death is going to eat you up completely,
such a kim dhanir dhanadeirva kim kamairva kamadeiruda.
What is the use of acquiring wealth for such a person? And what wealth can help him? Because he is going from this place anyway. Secondly, those who are giving you wealth in this world, they also are of no use to you at the time of death, isn't it? Your accounts are settled there. So to keep getting attached to them and keeping that attachment to those who are giving you wealth is also no good. Because they also can't help you. You are leaving this place anyway. So even the wealth what you have acquired is of no use. Even your attachment to them is also not going to help. Or even the attachment to those who are giving you the wealth also is no good, because you are leaving them as well. And similarly, even those who are having sense gratification and those who are giving you that sense gratification or the sense gratification itself, what is the use? Brahmana is asking all these questions now. He is reflecting it in a much deeper level. He is saying these things. And then he is saying that even with the next life, what is the use? Because what will happen is, I have all these vasanas in me. I will go into the next body. And I will again engage in karma. That's what vasana does, isn't it? From maya comes avidya. From avidya comes karma. Avidya comes karma. From karma comes vasana. This is how it flows. From maya comes avidya. From avidya comes kama, desires. From kama comes karma. And from karma comes again vasana. And from that vasana, it will continue your life. It will create more life again. Because if you have vasanas inside, it will generate more bodies again. Brahmana is asking that question. He is saying, kim dhanir dhanar deva kim kamairva kamadairuda mrtyuna agrasya manasya karma bhir voda janmadehi. Mrtyuna agrasya manasya karma bhir voda janmadehi. So, what is the purpose, what is the use, he says, with them, those who are giving you money, or even with the money itself. Then he says, those who give you sense gratification, or with the sense gratification itself. And finally, he says, even with the karma what you do, which is going to again create more lifetimes, many more bodies after that, what is the use of that either? So in every way, he's saying that the whole life was a disaster. It was a waste of time, says the Brahmana. Brahmana is openly saying his realizations from life. He's talking about it. But this, because I didn't have the proper discrimination, Brahmana says, at the right time in life, I acted like this. At least at this stage, final stage in my life, this has come.
he says. He's really opening up his heart and saying this. He said, up to the time I should have had this understanding even before, it didn't come. I was so much in ajnanam, avidya inside, ignorance in me. I didn't get that knowledge at the time when it needed, it didn't exist. But at least now, at this time, when I'm going to leave this body very soon, at least this understanding had come to me. So he's thanking Krishna for that. He's saying thanks to Krishna. Then Krishna has given me this renunciation, vairagyam in me, which has created this understanding properly, that I should have lived in a different way in this world. And now, why? Because, he says, he's not blaming Krishna. He says, Krishna has shown mercy to me by putting me into this situation. I have no money, nothing is left in this world. And if I want to earn some money, there is no money, I can't earn anymore. My earning capacity is also finished. There is a song Prabhupada wrote about this, I don't know whether you have read that. Prabhupada says there, that after all the money was gone, family was gone, there's a few verses in English, and he finally says there, all that remains now is a list of names, he said. You can read that in the Prabhupada's Lilamrita. They quoted that verses. He's sitting in Vrindavanam and saying there, he's writing poetry, exactly like our Bhavandi Brahmana has written, Bhikshugita. Very much similar. He's saying there, all that remains now is the list of names. That's what it is. When everything has gone, money has gone, with that family has gone, friends have gone, all gone, there's nothing left. Our world is all this, isn't it? Family, money, friends, socializing. This is our world. And we have so much faith in that. One day, when Krishna will put you in an awkward situation like that, family will go, money will go, friends will go, everything will go. Then you will sit like Prabhupada sat in Vrindavanam and wrote that poetry. All that remains is a list of names, he said. I got a whole list, he says. Look at the list. What is the use of this list? That's what it is. So, Krishna is pointing this vairagyam, what Bhikshu received at that time. That is, Bhikshu, like Prabhupada also, has taken it in the right spirit. When he was put into that, so what happened? One time you are finding it difficult to break this attachment. You are finding it difficult to break your attachment with the family, with the friends, with the society. You are thinking, oh, what will they think if I don't look after them, if I don't socialize with them? What will they? Now what happened? They left you. Instead of you leaving them, they have left you. They made the job a lot easier for you. Isn't it? Because with all this baggage around you, to think that spiritual life is possible is foolishness. It's not going to work. It's simply not going to work. They have all come due to prarabdham and they will finish their prarabdham, they will go. They're not going to stay with us anymore. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here that the kim dhaner dhaner daiva kim kameva kamadairuda mrityunagrasya manasya karma bhairvoda janmadehi. He says, how happy I am, says Brahmana. Brahmana says, a whole load has gone from my back. Nobody will ask me anything anymore, number one. And wife and children won't come, why you are not looking after us, why you are not doing anything for us. They won't say this anymore to us. I don't have to worry about anything because in social circle, I won't be invited for any program. They won't invite you because you don't have any money, who is going to invite you? They will treat you. Added to that, the world also has rejected me, he says. World also has rejected me because world is only insulting you. That will come later, how the world has insulted him. Family and friends gone, the world is also going away. So he's feeling happy. Is that not what happens in the Sushupti? Every day it's happening in us, our own life, but only thing we don't take notice of it. Krishna is saying to Krishna, Nunam me Bhagavan stushta sarvadeva mayo hari. He says here, sarvadeva mayo Bhagavan hari me nunam tushtaha. that Sarvadeva Vayo, Sarvadevada Swarupam, Krishna who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, he who destroys everyone's material existence, he is now pleased with me, says. He is now pleased with me. Only few people have spoken like this. That when everything was taken out, they are saying, Krishna is now pleased with me. That's why he has done me a great favor. The things what you are struggling to get rid of, they left you by Krishna's arrangement. That has happened. So, yena nido dasham idam nurvedas chalpana plavaham. Yena idam dasham nida alpana plava nurvedascha. Because Krishna is pleased with me, Krishna has brought me to this situation, he says. And because of that, I have got that boat. Boat of what? Vairagyam. With which I can cross this ocean of material existence. That Vairagyam had come to me. He says like this. Nunam me Bhagavan stushta sarva devamayo hari yena nido dasha medam nurvedas chalpana plavaha. Nurvedam altmanam plava. Plava means the boat. The boat to transcend the material existence, material world. I have got that boat which is in the form of Nurvedam, in the form of Vairagyam, it has come to me. Now here, some one or two things. In order to cross the material existence, Krishna says Vairagyam is necessary, intense renunciation, isn't it? And ordinary people, it will be very difficult to get that Vairagyam. As soon as you have something of your own in this world, house or properties or assets or car or whatever it is, and once you start seeing that as yours, or as long as you have that, I have something in this world, it is very difficult to get that Nirvedam state, isn't it? Nobody will get it, because Krishna says here, even if there is a little Vairagyam, it will not be Nirvedam. Nirvedam means extreme Vairagyam, extreme Vairagyam. On the other hand, I have lost everything, I have nothing left in this world, and Krishna has given you that intelligence of intense Vairagyam, in the way it has happened to this Brahmana. It is Krishna's arrangement that it happened to him in this way, and he lost everything, so he doesn't have anything anymore left. And normally, if a person has lost everything, and if he talks about Vairagyam, people will say, ah yeah, now that you could, you're lost, you couldn't make any money, you've lost everything, or you're talking about spiritual life, aren't you? That's what they will say to you, isn't it? They will say like that. Oh, he's become a devotee now, because he couldn't do anything in this world. That's why he's become a devotee, they will say. So people will say like this. They'll say, oh, when he was making money, he was not interested. But now that he has lost everything, now he has become the chanting, he's chanting the beads. And he is always, you see him, look at him. And they will insult you. They will say this, only because you have lost everything, you have become a failure in your life, therefore you have taken to spiritual life. So, and that is true also because, you know, the sour grapes of the fox, that's what that is talking about here. So, because he can't get it, therefore he is saying all these things about Vairagyam, he says. In reality, that's not considered Vairagyam. That's not considered Vairagyam. Because he is actually not experiencing Vairagyam. What's happening here is that he has taken a shelter in that way. Not only that, he is acting as though he has got renunciation. He has got renunciation. Actually, Vairagyam is when you got it, if Vairagyam comes, that is the proper Vairagyam. When you got the wealth, at that time to have that Vairagyam, in that case, you won't fall down. You won't, Adhapadanam won't happen. Falling down will not happen. But that didn't happen in our Brahmana's case. It didn't happen like that. He's saying, Brahmana is saying, this has happened now. Because after I have lost everything, Krishna has given me this Vairagyam.
He didn't give it to me when I had all the wealth. At that time he didn't come.
So he says here, when I have lost everything, I don't have any more any danger from that wealth.
Wealth is a danger, as Krishna said. That 15 things what he listed. Those problem has gone now. I have escaped from that problem because I have lost all my wealth.
Secondly, the benefit I have is this Nirvedam intense detachment has come to me. Intense detachment has come to me. Because I have now faith in these words, what Krishna has said, that artham is anartham. Artham is anartham. Previously, I never believed in that, he says. So, he is saying here, in future, I should not make feel any connection with the wealth anymore in my rest of the life. I shouldn't feel any connection with the wealth. And that faith has come to me strongly now, says the Brahmana. In fact, you can see here, in reality, Krishna is saying here, this can only happen by Krishna's grace. Lot of people lose money in this world. That is also happening. Lot of people make money, lot of people lose money. But this attachment to Krishna consciousness proper way doesn't happen. The self-realization attachment doesn't happen. So, but Krishna has given that vairagyam to him. He's saying like this, that it is a boat for me to cross this ocean of material existence. In other words, had this vairagyam not come to him, Brahmana says, I would have never attained my attention towards the process of realizing the self, self-realization. So it opened his eyes. Which eye? Not the external eye, the eye inside. There's another eye inside. He started waking up inside. So it was necessary for him to go through that. He's admitting that what has happened. I should have had this intelligence when the wealth was there. Doesn't matter. He says, I am not a loser. In reality, I have gained, he says, because if the wealth was there, and even if I had the vairagyam, it will never be the same way, like now. And all that wealth would have caused a lot of problems. Now that problems have also gone. It won't cause any problem for me anymore, from the wealth, what was there. In addition, I have got that kind of detachment now from this world that never again I will feel any attraction for this wealth, says the Brahmana. That is why he's saying there in the next verse you will see, soham, therefore, kalavasheshena shoshayishya angamalmana apramatho akhilaswartho yadisyal siddha almani. He's saying to Krishna only one thing. I have only one thing to say. If I get a little bit more time in this world, soham kalavasheshena, if I have a little bit more time left in this world, using that time, I will live properly in this world. Apramatha. Apramatha means not under this illusion that wealth is going to give me shelter. And I will be satisfied. Arthapramato akhila swartho yadisyal siddha almani. That through austerities and penances and through spiritual activities, I will put my body into very severe penances and I'll live a life of proper spiritual side, he's saying here. And he also says here that Krishna has created that situation for me. There's no doubt, he says, this is a great blessing from Krishna. And he has given me this intense detachment to this world. With these two things together, he says, it's an opportunity. And whatever little vairagyam, time is left for me, let me utilize that for realizing the self and not for any other purpose. He says like this, I will not utilize my time for any other purpose, he says. That is why he says there, soham kalavasheshena shoshayishye angamalpmana apramatho akhilaswartho yadisyal siddham almani. And after saying that, he says there that in this decision
what I have made now, let all the devadas, demigods, let them bless me, he says. Let them give me help in what I need in my spiritual pursuit.
Tatrava animoderan deva tribhuvaneshwarah muhurtena brahmalogam gatvangam samasathayan.
He knows things well. Brahmana is not daft. He knows the things well. Only things because of his greed, he wasted his life in that way.
He says here
that you may be thinking that I am an old man. What can I do? That may be your doubt. He says, no. I know the story of Katvanga. He says, Katvanga, King Katvanga, he was a king in the Solar dynasty, isn't it? Ikshvaku's lineage. When Katvanga was fighting the battle in the spiritual, with the heavenly planets, with the demigods, they gave him a benediction, told him that you have got only a very short period of time left to live in this world. Immediately, Katvanga came down to this world and utilized this rest of his life for self-realization. Went to the forest, engaged in spiritual life, and went back to Krishna. Katvanga's story is very famous in the Bhagavatam. So, Katvanga's whole life he spent in working, fighting, managing the country and going to the demigods' planets and fighting with them against the demons and things like that. So, whole his life he was active. But at the right time, when he came to know that he had only a very short span of time, he utilized that properly and realized the truth. I am going to do the same thing, he says. Katvanga has done that. Okay, my life was a waste of time. All my life was wasted in acquiring wealth, and so many things have happened in my life. It was all a waste of time. But at the end, when I lost all this wealth, Avanti Brahmana is saying, it has done me two things. One, when all the wealth is gone, because of that, all the anartham or the inauspicious things that comes from the wealth is also gone with that, with the wealth. Isn't it? Otherwise, that 15 kinds of problems will remain with me. What listed there, 15 things in the Bhagavatam, they still be with me. Now the whole wealth is gone, that 15 things have also gone with that. Number one. Number two, with this intense vairagyam has come to me. Krishna has shown me what is the right thing to do and made me understand that human life is meant for realizing the self. So, he has put me in the right track and this vairagyam has helped me for that, he says. So, I am fortunate, he is saying that I am not unfortunate, he is saying to us. Actually, he is fortunate, isn't it? To get to that state, it is very, very difficult. But Krishna has given him that. Devotees recognize this later. When we are working through our courses and seminars, we are thinking that this is the process, this is the process. But those days we won't realize it and we will like to hold on to everything. But only among millions, Krishna puts somebody into that situation and forces him to come to spiritual life, and that will stay. That will stay, and that's what's happened to Ravana. So it's our first level. We'll stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.